You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Hey, you guys! I'm making my lunch! So can I get you gentlemen something more to drink? Or maybe something to nibble on? Some pizza shooters, shrimp poppers, or extreme fajitas?
It's the Lunchtime Show with Bill and Jason, live from the Mulberry Food Court.
I said lunch, not lunch!
Time show! Woohoo! Boom goes the dynamite! Hey everybody, it's live from the Nora Mulberry food court type of thing. Hey! Mulberry Town Mall, that's what it is. It's been a while. But I am Zedjestrum, welcoming you to lunchtime. Hope you got your brown bag or you went to Chick-fil-A next door, or Taco Bell, or Zabaros. I don't know how to say it.
Panda Express.
Panda Express, yes. Or, I remember when I was a kid, Takey Outie.
Takey Outie. Takey Nawashi.
But I also, I'm not just here by myself, and I'm not throwing voices. That's Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian.
You got to give me a minute. I'm waiting for my Orange Julius.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bill's still in line over there. But, guys, welcome to the Mulberry Town Mall. This is pretty awesome. We're here in the food court. It's pretty busy here at lunchtime, actually.
I think it's because there's all the businesses around here.
How did we used to do this back in the day? I was trying to think of the year. I think it was like 2006 when we did the lunch.
Seriously?
Yeah, and the economy was not great in Mulberry, and it's thriving now.
It is. We've had new theaters installed. We've got the arcade open now.
Yeah, and they've got... Notice there's an Apple store, and then on the other side of it, there's a Microsoft store.
Yeah.
The Apple store looks busier.
It does look a little busier, but they're trying to hawk those Surface Pros. They've got them all out in the window there.
Yeah, they're pretty cheap. I think I might pick one up.
Yeah, they're not bad.
We need to get some advertisers on this show. You know, we're here in the food court. We could have, like, Microsoft, like, all over us and get, you know, a nice stipend there.
Yeah, I'd be willing to whore out.
Me too. I'm ready to whore. So
on the corner of the food court.
I guess we should tell people, there's people who might listen to the show that didn't listen to us in 2006. They might wonder, what is the lunchtime show?
Yes.
And I should explain to you that at one time, I'm going to say it was for a two-month period. It wasn't a very long show. I mean,
no, it was a trial run.
Yeah, it was a trial run. It was basically, here's how it went. We were on Talk Radio X, which is this online radio station. Doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. But I had this idea. Hey, Bill, you and I could do like a lunchtime show 3 days a week and kind of get used to being live and then do the live Nowhere in Mulberry. Little did I know, like doing the live Nowhere in Mulberry, was just doing the show regular and we didn't really need those practice shows. But it was a lot of fun while we did it until we lost interest.
Was it as much interest or just circumstances of the station we were on?
Well, it was my idea, you know, to do it. I kind of wanted to get some shows under our belt. I hated the fact that it was like we were starting a show live, and it would take us 1 week at a time to kind of get used to it and get experience. So kind of like in the back of my head, I was like, if I do 3 shows a week plus Nowhere on Mulberry, we're doing 4 shows a week, we'll rapidly be like veterans of doing live shows or something.
Now we're actually veterans of being veterans.
Yes. And I think also I wanted to practice doing a more open format, not so structured. True. I was just shooting the shit, occasionally taking phone calls on Skype or something, and that was fun.
That's not a hint, Credo, if you're listening.
That was fun for a while.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I think we both started losing interest, and I started sleeping in accidentally.
Well, here's what happened is in the run, we did it for September, fine. We did really good run of shows in September. October, boom, first couple of shows, then I get an Xbox 360 delivered.
Oh, yes, that's right.
In fact, you know, on one of the shows, I believe the doorbell rings while I'm doing the show.
That's
I'm like,
the show that I slept in on.
Yes, it is. And I was like,
where? That's some stupid excuse, I'm sure. Like, oh, I was so busy.
Well, basically what happens is I did the show alone, and then a bunch of people called in. I can't remember everybody who. I think Brock called in. I think Heather called in. And I'm pretty sure, what's that name of that guy who did that show after us? Was it Tyler? No, not Tyler.
No, that guy.
That weird stoner dude.
Oh, the weird stoner guy that would do the conspiracy show.
Toby
Chu.
Yeah, Toby calls in. He has a hilarious story about somebody with web feet or something. But I have the doorbell rings, and I go to get it, answer it, and it's an Xbox 360 from you, like a gift.
Yes, it was your birthday gift.
Yeah.
Because your birthday's the last week of October.
Yes, on the 26th.
So
26th. I'm all of a sudden, instead of wanting to do the show 3 days a week, we want to play Xbox.
Yeah.
And that pretty much killed it.
We wanted to play Halo.
Yeah, totally. And that was good stuff back in the day, you know.
It was me, it was you, it was Andy from the Hollywood Saloon. There was who else would we play with?
Brock.
We played with Brock, yeah, too. Brock from what show did he do? I can't remember. Didn't he do a show?
It was called Was Watching or something like that.
Okay, yeah, okay.
But do you remember basically, I loved playing two-player Halo with you, the storyline.
Oh my god, yeah, the co-op campaign?
Yeah, the co-op campaign, I love that. When we did death matches and stuff, I sucked at Halo.
Oh, we always sucked.
And I lost interest quickly and played other games, but
it was humiliating. Demoralizing.
Yeah. But I've gotten better at some other deathmatch games, but I'm very select. I don't like just any. Like, I never got into Call of Duty, but because I never owned a Call of Duty, by the way. I just played demos.
Yeah, you know what, those games, ugh.
But I love Battlefield.
Battlefield.
That I can do.
Yes.
You remember when they did that DLC of his like 1943 Battlefield or something?
Yeah, it was the remake of the original 1942 Battlefield.
Dude,
with Wake Island. It was me, you, Andy.
That was so much fun. I loved playing that.
Yeah, it was a blast.
Not to mention Bad Company. But now
Bad Company was the original. Bad Company is still a classic. I still have that on. I've put my, I think, 80% of my Xbox games in a box downstairs in the basement.
There's,
and I still
keep
that gold edition of Battlefield Bad Company on my bookcase.
Yeah, the gold edition. I love that. When you play
and
that game,
I still have the Battlefield keychain thing with the grenade with the smiley face.
Uh huh.
On my keyring.
Do you remember this music,
Bill? That's memories for me.
Remember that?
Yes, it's Milt Buckner, the Beast.
Love it.
I have that that album.
Oh man, it's a great stuff, man.
That original Battlefield, wow. Man,
excellent.
Sweetwater. And, what was the guy's name? What was the name of the... There's gold in them there hills.
Yeah, this guy.
There's gold in them there hills.
Yes. The thing I loved about that game is you're playing one player with these three bots, but they gave them so much personality. It was awesome going into battle with them in the game.
It was. They were your friends. And then we were so excited that they were going to do another game, and the second game, they like removed all the camaraderie and comedy out of it.
Yeah, there was like more profanity. Like they said the F-bomb more, and it was like kind of harsh. Like,
it was soulless.
Dude. It's like you just made them kind of more, like, I don't know, like, vulgar?
Yeah, they wanted to be more Call of Duty.
Like, oh man, the 12-year-olds.
Like, set themselves apart from
12-year-olds will love this.
Yeah.
They're saying potty words.
Yeah, it was very, very sad that... But the craziest thing about that is... My friend, I went to the Pittsburgh High School for time, and my friend Mike Atkinson was a French horn player and now is a conductor, composer, and he worked with Mikhail Carlson, who did the score for the Battlefield Bad Company games.
Oh, nice.
And he actually composed the horn sections for Bad Company 2. Kind of a friend connection to that whole area. That Mike Atkinson was. We had a whole group at Kappa. We were the Brotherhood of Filth, so we would always like rate our burps and farts and stupidity. Yeah.
Oh my god, I don't care about any of the next gen Battlefield games. I want more Bad Company. Damn it.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. I would love another Bad Company. We know it'll never happen, but I was so bored with Battlefield 4 on the PS4 that I only just recently finished it because I felt I should before I started playing Infamous Second Son. So I put it back in, and I was literally at the end of the game. Like, it took me 5 minutes to finish it. That's where I quit. I got so bored with it that I quit 5 minutes before the end of the game.
Wow. But you
and
know
then
what?
You at the end of it, you have to make a choice whether one of your team basically sacrifices themselves or if another NPC sacrifices themselves. And you have to play through it twice to get both endings. And it's a beautiful game. It's stunning on the PS4. It's PC level.
Yeah.
But I was just so bored with the single player that I never even went back to the multiplayer. And then Titanfall came out, and you and I are just elbow deep in that.
Yeah, I love Titanfall. I think it's fun. We every time we play it together, we talk about, like, man, this is fun, but there's always, like, there's no story.
No.
It feels unfinished. There's no personality to the game at all.
There's zero personality.
There's no characterization.
To the game.
It's basically this. The game is maps that you play on in giant robots and kill dudes. But there's no backstory like Halo or Bad Company or, hell, even Battlefield or Call of Duty.
It desperately needs a story, but the gameplay is so polished.
Yeah.
That you can tell that's where they were like, you know what? Story we can get to eventually.
Yeah, screw the story. Let's have this game play fun.
Yeah, let's have this game be the best possible multiplayer experience that people have had. And honestly, it is.
In a lot of ways, it reminds me of Bad Company, the mechanics of it.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Except
for
when you kill somebody, their body falls to the ground, not a duffel bag.
Yeah, right. I forgot all about that. That's too funny.
I miss, like, hopping in tanks or boats or helicopters on that game.
Yeah, but now we have Titans.
Yes, Titans. Sometimes you last a long time in a Titan. Sometimes you die instantly.
It honestly all matters with who you're playing against.
Yeah, there's some teams that they're like three Titans against one, you're screwed. If you're lucky, you have a nuclear core that blows up after you die, so you take one of them with you or something. But
yeah,
you're pretty much screwed.
The Titans, Like, you basically get four models. There's the Ogre, which is the big, the slow, super-armored one.
The dim-witted Titan.
Yeah, he's the dim-witted Titan. In fact, I had a high school friend, or an elementary school friend named Ogre,
Ogre!
I think he still calls himself Ogre. I love the guy, but geez. And then there's the Atlas, which is kind of...
Okay, we get it. Oh, Foggy's here with us in the food court, by the way. Okay, we got that, Foggy.
Yeah, so we have the Ogre, the Atlas, the Strider, and there's one other one, isn't there?
No, that's it. Three.
Oh, I thought there was four.
Unless there's a secret one that I don't know about.
Secret one? Secret Titan.
Yeah. But
I mean, it's fun. It's but that's all you have. But I would love a story. In fact, I saw that they are going to be releasing a free DLC where I think it's three new maps.
Yeah. Yeah, you were telling me about that. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
So what do you like about it? I love in the Mulberry Town Mall the background music. I love it here in the food court.
Yeah, I don't know who chooses the music for it, but it's a very eclectic mix.
I don't think it's changed in 15 years.
No, it hasn't. And that's what's good about it. It's familiar.
Same stuff. But one thing I will say about Titanfall, like, I got so sick of dying that I went on YouTube and started watching how to get better videos and tips.
Oh, yeah.
And I did get a lot better, helpful tints. And the best I did was I did a match while I was playing with you where I got 13 kills. And I was like, yeah! But my goal is to one day have 24 kills on one match. Now, I know this... Hopefully, I'll play against, like, people who are noobs. That's the only way I'm going to do that.
Well, they have been balancing it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a... It's not as difficult... You know, they more people that are about your same skill level, they've been putting us with. So
yeah,
so that, yeah, I think I've been watching the videos on YouTube pretty regularly, just trying to get little hints of things that you can do differently or that. I think the biggest one was just learning how to use the burn cards that they give you.
Yeah, definitely. I was clueless as to what to do.
Yeah, the burn cards are these special cards that you earn that can give you what would you call it, an advantage, a better gun.
Yeah, sometimes you'll have a card that says run faster, or you have a card that says unlimited grenades, and one that is you see every enemy on the map.
Yeah, map pack.
Which is awesome, except when you die, you lose the card, and you don't have that ability anymore, which I think sucks, by the way.
Well, you know what? You can't have the advantage for that long if you can't stay alive.
Yeah, I know. That's why one guy said, don't use your burn cards until you're in a Titan. And
or
I was like,
or at least the map hack card, because then you're basically all-powerful, all-seeing.
So I was like, cool, that's good. Next time I play, I'm going to do that. Then when I was in the Titan, I was like, how do I activate a burn card?
I have no freaking idea.
I didn't know how!
You know what it is? I think you have to activate it before you get in the Titan.
Oh, what the hell, man? Too cumbersome.
You have to activate it there at your death screen. That's whenever you choose it.
Yes.
So before you spawn, you have to know you're spawning into a Titan.
Here's what you do. Spawn the Titan, get killed on purpose, activate it, then go find your Titan, jump in, then you're good.
Yeah.
No, that's a pain in the ass.
Well, we'll figure it out.
You know, so it's weird talking about games and Halo and stuff. Did you see that Bungie fired the dude who did the music to the Halo games?
Yeah, Mark O'Donnell. How about that? Just out of nowhere, without cause, apparently, he said on Twitter.
That dude, the Halo music. Now, granted, I only have one Halo game, Halo 3. That's the only one I ever played.
Yeah.
The music made a huge impression on me.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, from the very beginning... of the Halo series. In fact, I should get that for you for your birthday in October, the Halo anniversary. It's the original Halo game redone for the 360.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's that music. I remember booting that up for the very first time, and it's this very ethereal music, and you're just kind of like, wow, this is really different.
Yeah, very
and
cool.
it raised that game with each game. Halo, Halo 2, Halo 3. The music got better and better. And I was honestly shocked. Like, my thing was, okay, without cause, what does that mean? Does he feel it was without cause? Or did
right.
he... Did they maybe... have a different composer in mind, or what he was doing for Destiny wasn't working? Like, I'm very interested in what's going on.
He was doing the music for Destiny, and that's what I'm wondering. Did he finish it, and then they shit-canned him, or did they go, you know what, this is too Halo-ish, we need it to sound different, we're gonna let you go, or something?
I always get very leery whenever stuff like this happens. Whenever you fire somebody without cause, that normally means that he didn't sign a severance or didn't agree with it, so he's going to pursue legal action. So it's just, I would love to know the full story.
Yeah. And
you know this guy is talented. Somebody will snap him up.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That dude is not going without work. He's going to be...
If I was BioWare or another... Or Gearbox, somebody...
Naughty Dog, somebody
Naughty
like
Dog,
that.
Naughty Dog, Sucker Punch, somebody good.
Eidos, Data East USA,
Ubisoft.
Atari,
yeah.
Yeah.
Activision.
Just one of Activision, yeah. Tengen.
Tengen. I really do need better music on that Tetris re-release. Or Tubin.
Yeah, Tubin, God.
Tubin, those Tengen games, man. I have that Tengen Tetris. That was one of the original Tetris releases for the Nintendo, and they had to...
Wasn't that an upstart where they released it without the Nintendo license?
Exactly.
They were like, we don't need your approval.
Money.
Yeah. We don't need your approval, bitch. Now, Bill...
But they also had Rolling Thunder.
God,
I remember... All those Tengen games were the bomb, because they were different. They were like a wedge.
You remember Tubin? Like, I remember just that game was gorgeous looking, but I never played it. Like,
Hated Tubin, and I own it, and I played it in the arcade. It was a pain in the ass, because...
But it was gorgeous,
was you controlled the two arms.
I want Tubin for the Xbox One. You know, with, sit on a pillow on the Kinect... And
there
you're just
go.
Hovering and you're playing Tubin. That would be awesome.
Yeah, or what else? What was the one where you kind of like flew through the air? Oh, shit. And it was like a crazy, like, grid pattern.
Space Harrier?
Space Harrier.
Oh, yeah. I love Space Harrier.
Space Harrier for the Xbox One Kinect.
You're going...
They could do so many cool games for the Kinect, and they've done nothing for the Xbox One Kinect.
Yeah, they're like, it comes with it. You can do Skype calls with it. It's like, where's the games? You can do Skype calls with it. No, where's the games?
Honestly, I was at Target yesterday, and they have the Kinect Rivals on sale this week. And I was honestly considering buying it.
I want to get it for Emma.
I'm not going to use Xbox Fitness or Zumba World Tour, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, Emma wants it because she, you know, on the commercial, it scans your face where your avatar looks just like you, and you do mountain climbing, you play bowling, you do tennis.
I get it. You do. Is it online?
I think you can.
And play against her.
And I read reviews of it, and they said... The one thing that counts against it is there's little videos of coaches like yelling at you and stuff.
Unskippable?
And it's unskippable. And they're like, who's the asshole who made this unskippable? When you play it for the 100th time, you're like, I know. You know, they just say the same shit.
Voiceovers in Titanfall.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, shut up. I don't care. This story makes no sense.
You know, I know we have some voicemail to play, but... There was a couple of news stories that came out recently. Besides the Marty O'Donnell getting fired from Bungie, did you see that? This is so funny because, you know, I complain all the time on the show where you see the same news story like over and over again, and I'm just sick of it. But this one cracked me up because it's so unnewsworthy. It's so like, who gives a shit? why are you even bothering? But I keep seeing it in multiple websites, including Entertainment Weekly or HitFix or any of those, and it is Mrs. Doubtfire sequel in the works, Bill!
Oh, Jesus.
Hello!
That's right! Mrs. Doubtfire! Just listen to the story.
It was needed.
Q Aerosmith's dude looks
those
like a lady.
Kids are old enough to have kids.
No,
it's gonna be Mrs. Doubtfire this time.
I just, oh my god, just this paragraph cracks me up. Just the way they wrote it. Q Aerosmith's dude looks like a lady on your tape deck. Fox 2000 Pictures is developing a sequel to the 1993 comedy Mrs. Doubtfire.
Starring Martin Lawrence as Big Mama.
Lest you worry, they'll cast Zac Efron in the title role. The plan is to reunite original star Robin Williams with director Chris Columbus. Hey!
Hello!
All right. So,
is Harvey Firestein going to be in this one, too?
Hello. I hope so.
Oh, there you go, gorgeous. If I was a gay bee,
I just remember what John Lovitz would do him on Saturday Night Live.
Would you like me if I was a bee? If I was a gay bee?
Such a strange thing there.
That really was. But it was great. I don't get the I would love to read, like, is there a treatment? Is there a script? Because I really want to read it. Badly.
I don't know.
I love that that's the only Mrs. Doubtfire clip.
That's the only drop. But that's the only... Whenever you think of Mrs. Doubtfire, you think of that one part.
Well, mine is the... it was a drive-by fruiting.
Yes. Bill. Okay, I'm fine. Just had an alien burst out of my chest. Now, Bill, I have a couple more things I want to talk about. All right. And another one is this. One of us is going to rant after I bring this up. I may let you do it. Okay, you ready for this?
Okay.
Star Wars set photo.
Did you see me post that on Facebook?
Yes! And it cracked me up because it's so true. It's a friggin' shack!
Yeah,
you know?
It's a shack with two giant gray circular objects.
What is this? Star Wars Episode 7 now filming in this structure. Ooh, who can? I could have taken a building of anywhere, Bill, any warehouse and said...
I'm going to take a picture, a close-up picture of the front of my house with my wood rack, my firewood rack.
Yeah.
And then analyze it. Like, I'm gonna take a picture of an Imperial Walker...
Oh,
and then analyze the bottom of the feet of it and go, well, look, it corresponds.
Oh, yeah, you take, like, your old, like, Millennium Falcon and drape, like, a little tarp over it.
Yes,
and,
what is this?
And at a distance, you know, it's a miniature, but make it look normal size. Could this be the Millennium Falcon of
it's
the new star?
Shaped. It's got the oval kind of prongs at the front. And the... Oh, Jesus. I just don't. They are going to suck all the joy out of the J.J. Abrams Star Wars films.
I know.
I'm just going to, at this point, even Noel Meller, he wrote on his Facebook, It Begins.
Yeah, It Begins!
Yeah, it's just too much. Everybody's excited. I couldn't be more excited.
I'm excited, too, you know?
It's like this morning I'm lying in bed and I'm thinking about that and I'm going, wow, it's got to be amazing to be J.J. Abrams because you start out being such a fan of Star Wars. In fact, when he first met with Damon Lindelof for Lost, they were both wearing their original Star Wars fan club Bantha Track shirts.
Yeah, Bantha Tracks.
And, that's huge. That somebody...
Hey, hit the nose.
...that loves the series is now in the driver's seat.
Yeah, totally.
Has enough reverence for it to say, no, this is how it's going to be done. this is what, you know, he's a fan. So it's a fan making it. And I'm excited by that.
All I know is the first issue of Empire Magazine with exclusive set photos or something, that'll be the one that sells.
Yeah, that I can't wait till I'm sitting in a theater waiting for the trailer.
Yes. We'll have to go see, like, the Wing Commander 2 with...
God. Fox. Fox is always pushing some shit.
Do you remember that? Like, people had to go see the Phantom Menace trailer in front of Wing Commander.
Yeah, and they were all lined up. In fact, I was friends with people on ICQ. Remember that?
No.
On the computer. It was like one of the original messaging services.
Oh, wow.
ICQ, whenever, and you were a number, you weren't a name on ICQ. Mine was like 6794064 or something. And I was friends with a guy named Lincoln and a guy named Jason. And actually, I just friended a guy named the guy, Jason, who I met through Home Theater Forum, same as you, on Facebook recently.
Oh, wow.
But Lincoln was one of the guys that was at the front of the line in, Man's Chinese Theater. And I think he was part of the group that started that site, countingdown.com.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was actually supposed to be a reviewer for that, and I bowed out. I didn't want to. I didn't have the drive for it.
Do you think that anything topped that first excitement of the first Phantom Menace trailer?
No. I can still watch that trailer and have those same feelings.
Like
that's a great freaking trailer.
Yeah, when you first see Darth Maul ignite that double-sided lightsaber, you're like, who is that guy? Holy shit!
Yeah.
Who is he?
For me, I still get goosebumps when those droid transports come rolling over the hills of Naboo.
Making that roaring sound.
Holy moly.
Oh, man, this is going to be awesome.
Chills. It's such a great trailer that you're thinking, wow, this is the beginning of it all. This is it. I can't believe how great this is going to be.
The most beautiful creatures in the universe.
Yeah. And I remember buying a Star Wars Insider magazine with, I believe it, they had, this might have been for Attack of the Clones, now that I remember, but it was little square pictures of shit you didn't know what it was, but it's like, these are objects in the Star Wars film, and you had no idea what it was, but you're like looking at it like, what is this?
So now as I think about it, after watching the Clone Wars, why the F would he call it Attack of the Clones?
Yeah,
like, it makes even less sense to me now.
It should be Attack of the Droids, if you want to think
of it. Yeah, I mean,
Attack of the Battle Droids.
It should have had something to do with the dark side.
It should have been called Episode 2, A Sinister Plot, or something.
It should have been like Rise of the Dark, something rising of the, you know...
Oh, something. I got it. Bill, Episode 2, Dark Side Rising.
Yeah, something like even that. You know, it's
bum,
just not attacking.
Bum. Batman shows up in the second one.
There you go. There you go. How did I get here? Goddamn wormholes.
Guess who else is there?
Hello!
Mrs. Doubtfire!
I actually would have enjoyed it more if Robin Williams Mrs. Doubtfire in it. Now,
have you been seeing all these new teasers? I mean, we've seen the main Godzilla trailer,
yes,
but now they're doing these shorter ones where they show a little bit more.
I can't be more excited for it.
I know, it's exciting.
It looks... I mean, I was watching... I think it was like the 3-minute preview that was basically the Bryan Cranston story, and it, like, mm-hmm, my heart hurt during it. I was like, wow, they're going full bore dramatic here.
Yeah.
And it is gonna send us back to the Stone Age.
Yeah, he's like full gravitas in that trailer, isn't he?
He is. He's gravelly gravitas.
You're not fooling anybody.
Yeah, he's just like, whoever he's talking
to. The one that knocks.
I want them to... I want to see the movie just to see who he's yelling at.
Yeah, like, I can't wait for it. When does it come out?
I want to talk to somebody in charge.
I know. We need to talk to somebody in charge to find out when it's released, Bill.
I'm looking it up now.
I want to see the movie just to see him find out it's Godzilla, because he so wants to know what's going on in the trailer.
It's May 16th. It's that soon. It's a month from now.
Oh. Wait, I don't know if Bryan Cranston believes you, Bill.
You're lying.
No, I'm looking at it right here.
Oh, my God.
I was hoping it was June. That would give me 30 more days to pay off my credit card so that I could just get a flight down to Dallas and see it.
You know what's funny is a lot of people, I know a lot of people who love Godzilla, and we've talked about this on the show where I love Godzuki, the baby that blows the smoke rings.
Who doesn't love Godzuki?
I know. I want, like, a pet Godzuki. But when I saw the trailer, like, I wasn't that excited, but when I saw the trailer, that's a good trailer, yo.
That's a fantastic trailer, especially the first one, like, gave you, it, like, tickled your ass with a feather.
Uh-huh.
It was like, hey, look at this, look at this, look at this. Yeah, and then the second one was, like, the full, like, reach around.
Yeah.
And then you get the 3-minute preview where it gives you kind of the whole story that it's this overarching family story with the Bryan Cranston's the father, Aaron Johnson's the son, is it his sister or his wife? I think it's his wife.
Yeah.
That the person plays. But it just, yeah, it's, I can't wait. It looks amazing. Godzilla looks like Godzilla on steroids.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I think it's like 4 times the size of the original Godzilla. It's enormous.
Holy shit. That's pretty
big.
Yeah,
it's huge.
So basically, it could kick the Godzilla from the Roland Emmerich movie's ass.
I think that the Godzilla from a Roland Emmerich movie would actually just fit in the footprint of the Godzilla of this movie.
Whoa.
Like, this Godzilla is enormous.
Oh my god.
In the trailers, when you think about it, Godzilla's shoulders are only coming up to, like, the buildings.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing is massive.
That redesign of that Godzilla in that movie, it's like, they wanted, okay, this has to be Jurassic Park. That's why we're doing this Godzilla.
Massive Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah, and then when they have the Godzilla babies, that was like, okay, we need Velociraptors in the movie. What? This is Godzilla? We can't have Velociraptors. No. Godzilla has babies, and those are the Velociraptors. So that's like that whole shit there. They just
We need a song. Let's get P. Diddy.
P. Diddy, yeah.
We need something more classic. Well, how about Led Zeppelin? Get Jimmy Page. He's done the score for the Death Wish movies.
Yeah, what was that song called? His Godzilla song?
Oh, God. I don't even know. I just know it sampled Kashmir.
Yo, oh, my God. This is so bad, Bill. It's called... Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's called Uh-huh, Yeah.
Pete Diddy and the Hizzle. No, you know what? Go to hell, dude. You do not cover Led Zeppelin.
I can't even tolerate hearing Kashmir and then, uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
It should have been...
Hello!
Exactly.
Hello, yeah!
Now, Bill, this
is... Godzilla's here. Say hi, bitch! Uh-huh, yeah!
Bill, we have some voicemail.
All right.
I figured we should play some. Now, on the show, the last couple of episodes during DVDs, we kind of make fun of Harry Knowles.
We really don't need to, but it's just so damn easy.
I know, but he's had enough, and he's finally sent us a voicemail. You want to check this out?
Oh, please.
All right, let's check this out. Harry Knowles.
Hi, folks. This is Harry Knowles calling from beautiful Austin, Texas.
That's
the other
really
day,
close.
I was listening to your podcast while making sweet, sweet love to my beautiful wife, Yoko. Imagine my surprise when I hear you two gentlemen bashing me on your show over my Kickstarter campaign for YouTube. You don't understand how expensive it can be to post a video to YouTube nowadays. But I am willing to let bygones be bygones because I enjoy your show so much. Funny thing, Your show reminds me of the times I would spend hours talking to Father Geek about movies, entertainment, and pop culture. Very much like your own show. In a way, you could say that we invented podcasting. Except we didn't record or post anything on the internet.
Oh, he invented it. Mary, who are you talking to?
God damn it, Yoko! I'm talking to my new friends on the internet.
Harry, you're so mean! You promised my family you wouldn't treat me bad like that. I want to go back home.
Well, well, gentlemen, I must bid thee a fond farewell, and we'll talk with you again shortly. Good day.
All right, well, thanks, Harry.
We've got Harry Knowles as a fan, apparently.
He listens to the show.
I thought he was going to say he recorded everything on 8-track or on 16mm.
Yeah, I had he would have reel-to-reel. That's what
he'd reel-to-reel, yes. He had full analog.
Yeah, I record all of our conversations on reel-to-reel. I just need to find a way to upload them to the internet. Well, thank you for that, sir. I'm trying to remember who sent that voicemail, and I will credit you shortly when
I... It was Harry Knowles, man.
Yes, it was Harry Knowles, Bill. it was Terry Farthing. Thank you, Terry.
Oh, well, Terry was excellent.
You have the same name as my dad, so that's pretty cool. Now, Bill, we have another voicemail. This one from Hannah.
Hannah!
Sweet Hannah. Let's check this out.
Hi guys, it's Hannah speaking. Just thought I'd send a quick voicemail in to say I've finally finished Fringe, and my God, Woo-hoo! What a great series. It's probably the only TV series where as soon as I finished the last episode, I just wanted to go back to the first one and start it all again.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Completely agree with you guys that the White Tulip episode in season 2 was brilliant. I think my overall favorite moment, though, was at the end of episode 1, season 5, when Walter... wanders out into the street early morning and finds a abandoned cab with some CDs in it and plays a track by Yazoo called Only You.
Totally.
Just the moment really resonated with me, and I thought the choice of music was so perfect. And it got me thinking if there's any other TV series or films where there's a defining song or moment that always brings you back into that particular film or show, and if it resonates with you on an emotional level, let me know your thoughts. Okay, hope you're all well. Lots of love. Bye.
Bye, Hannah. Thank you very much. Always love hearing from Hannah, Bill.
I do, too. I love her.
That's so cool. She watched the entire run of Fringe.
Yeah, that's one of... She said she had to go start it over again. I just wanted to crawl in a corner and cry. Because it was a lot like Lost whenever it was gone. It was, you know, Lost was... It was a funeral. It was so crazy that, you know, that last episode felt like you were saying goodbye forever. And that's kind of what it was just for me with Fringe.
When Walter is hugging Peter and he says, "You're my favorite thing."
Yes.
That was like us,
dude,
the viewer.
Don't say it, because now I'm getting...
But it was like us, the viewers, saying to the show, "You're my favorite thing."
I'm getting all, you know, that feeling behind your nose and you start welling up. I just got that. Like, I just...
No,
I
Bill.
Can't... I walk past my Fringe Blu-rays on the shelf and they're still sealed. Like, I can't, I'm still not there. I can't go back to it.
I'm supposed to be crying.
Yeah, I can't do it.
My God, that's an old drop, Foggy.
I just can't do it yet.
But White Tulip, the thing I love about that episode is how it keeps setting up that Peter Weller is trying to get back to his love in time.
Yeah.
You think it's to save her, but I won't spoil it for anyone who decides to watch the whole run on Netflix. Woohoo!
Yeah, and that whenever you like see what he's done to himself to get to where he's going, it's just even more powerful. I think that is the episode that Fringe is.
When I remember when it's revealed at the end what's going on and what is driving him, and when it arrives at that moment, it's like you understand right at that moment. It hits you with the weight,
yeah,
and just tears poured out of my eyes.
Yeah, same here. It destroyed me.
I was like, oh, Jason, what's the matter? Get away from me! Don't touch me!
You know, it's that realization that you can't truly change anything.
Bill, are you one of the people, when you cry, do you want everyone to get away from you, or do you want someone to just hug you and grab you?
No, I want people to get away from me.
Because I want people to... I want to just grapple on and hug somebody, and they're like, look, you're hurting me. I'm like,
Now, you know, it all depends on the situation. If it was a mutual thing, sure, but most of the time, I'm very... Sadness is a very personal thing.
Or it could be like, Good Will Hunting. You're like, and I'm like, it's not your fault. Shut up, man. It's not your fault. Shut up. And Mike is just like, no, I'm going to hug you. No, get up, buddy. No, I'm going to hug you. And then finally, you give up and let the hug come. And it's like, total cliche, isn't it? Or, you know, it could be you have a gun, and then we wrestle with a gun. The gun goes off, and one of us is shot. Which one?
Oh, no.
One of us has blood on the shirt. So that could happen, too. In that instance.
Her second question, though, what's a song from a movie that takes you right back to it?
I could probably think of that in a couple of days.
Yeah, you know what? I think, you know what's funny for me? What originally pops up is, this is so crazy because I really don't like the song. I'm not a big Roy Orbison fan, but for some reason, Blue Velvet had such a searing, like, effect on my mind that anytime I hear In Dreams, I flash right back to it.
Oh yeah. So, you know what
and
song?
Maybe it's because it's also in Alan Wake. It's the song that ends the first chapter in Alan Wake. So
you know
that
song
In
is...
Dreams and anything like The Power of Love for Back to the Future.
Well, you know what song is ruined forever because of the movie? Like whenever you hear the song on the radio, it's like, ooh, like you want to just change it. And that's the Hurdy Gurdy Man.
Oh my God!
From
yeah.
Zodiac. It's like
oh, and Goodbye Horses.
Oh yeah. Oh, you know what's funny? Here's a song, and I only think of it with the movie. It's interchangeable. The song does not exist without the movie, and that's "You Could Be Mine" by Guns N' Roses from T2.
Yes.
The song doesn't exist on its own. It's a Terminator 2 song.
Yep, it is. And this is going to be really crazy. I don't even know why this popped into my head, but as a kid, I loved the movie Mannequin. Maybe it was because of Kim Cattrall, but that Starship song. Nothing, nothing's going to stop us now.
Oh my God, you're making me die.
I'm sorry.
That,
I know,
by the way, that is the worst song ever written.
Oh, it's awful. I mean, anything Starship is awful. I mean, it just truly is, but there's just... I don't know what to tell you.
But nothing's worse than... We built this city.
Oh my God, I loved that song as a kid, and I listen to it now, and I'm like, this really is one of the most awful songs I've ever heard. It's
it really is.
Or Arthur's theme, you know, when you get caught between the moon and New York City, Christopher Cross, so smooth.
Oh
so
yeah,
smooth. Yeah. There's if I sat here and thought about it,
yeah, we could come up
we
with...
could go on forever.
Totally. Totally, man. Now, Bill, we have another voicemail. This is from Rick.
Rick from Australia?
Yes, sir. Bill, by the way,
yeah.
I need you to get me an Orange Julius at the break.
All right, I'll
yours
go
looks so good, I gotta have one. Maybe pick up a Cinnabon, too. All right, here's our last voicemail. This is Rick. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys. It's Rick again. What's going on? It's been a while.
What's up, Rick?
I'm doing a show tomorrow. I thought I'd send a voicemail so you had one to play for the show. I went and saw the Winter Soldier. It's alright. Popcorn was good.
It's a bit of alright.
But I have been watching Twin Peaks. I watched the first season. And watched the first few episodes of the second season. That's a effing interesting show.
Oh, you can say
weird,
it.
Odd, strange. There's three words that mean the same. I'm just
strange.
Driving at the moment. Sorry.
It's a bit queer, actually.
But I really like it because it's different, and that's all I want. I'm sick of seeing the same things over and over. You know, 10 Marvel films in a row that have all been the same. Yeah, they're good for what they are, but I like something different, interesting. Twin Peaks, assuming you guys have seen it, because you guys know shit. And you probably
now I'm watching on its original run
at the moment. Yeah, talk to me about it.
Only the first season.
And I want to hear your thoughts on it. That's about it. Driving them. Got to come to them. Anyway, have a great show, guys. It's good to have you back, and I'm looking forward to this episode because it's been a while, and I miss you guys, you know? I miss your voices in my ears. This was Rick from Australia. Love you, guys.
Kisses.
Rick!
Oh.
He shouldn't have called while he was driving.
No, he should never voicemail and drive. It is our fault. If we hadn't done the show, he would still be alive.
Damn it, Rick. Why'd you have to do that?
Twin Peaks, just like you said, when in its original run, watched it. I think I lost interest in it, though.
Well, it's because it was David Lynch, and one of my sisters was kind of in a David Lynch mode, I just kind of got pulled into it because it's, I honestly, at first, I hated it because she would take over the TV, and it was like, come on, this is so campy and stupid, and like I was like, you're just watching General Hospital at night, basically.
If you're not into it, the show is... I can see it being annoying as shit.
But then, as you start to watch it, you realize that it's these things on purpose.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's campy, it's melodramatic, it's kind of got a horror kind of thing to it, but it was way ahead of its time. Like,
totally
ahead of its time.
You know what I recommend to Rick is the first episode of Fargo that I just watched, that just aired this week. It's got that real weird town. I mean, it's nothing like Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks is like Pluto, man, but it's still like dark humor. And that's what I love about the new Fargo that I just watched.
Twin Peaks is like Fargo on acid.
Okay, don't get me wrong, because, you know, Heather loves Twin Peaks, too. Like, she absolutely loves Kyle MacLachlan, also.
Well, I do, too. He's hunky.
But the season 2 ending of that show was a big middle finger to the viewership. It was like, F you! It was just like, it's so ridiculous and just annoying as shit. Kind of like, hey, we're canceled! Woo! You know, kind of like, that's what it feels like to me. And if anybody wants to send a voicemail arguing with me about that, that'd be cool too, because I want to be explained what the point of it is.
Well, the point of it is that it's... I can't even... Because nobody really knows the point of it is. It's my own interpretation that...
Well, also, Bill, Fire Walk With Me, I think it's like really depressing. I mean,
Fire Walk With Me is supremely depressing.
You finally get to see everything, but it's just like, by then, it's just like, I didn't want to know.
Yeah, you didn't want to know. Like, that's it. Like, thank you, but...
You're lying. Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I think the, I think he got kind of lost in his own storytelling, and then it...
I don't even think he was...
mystery and gained just... It was just...
Well, remember,
depressing.
He did the show with, was it Mark Frost?
Yeah.
And is there some point where David Lynch went off to do movies and he left control of the show to the other guy? I don't know. It was a long time ago, but...
Yeah, I think it was sometime... what was it? I would have to look at the Wikipedia. I would have to bring that up, but yeah, you're right.
And I have a right to know!
Yeah.
Yeah, Lynch went... Okay, I just brought it up. He went off to complete Wild at Heart.
Which I love. I love Wild at Heart.
Yeah, so...
Great. Great movie. Love that. Wild at Heart is one of those films... It's actually funny, Bill. Wild at Heart, I snuck in the theater to see.
Nice.
After one of the many times that I had gone to see Darkman...
Yeah.
I snuck into Wild at Heart. And I love Wild at Heart so much that I went back and bought a ticket and saw Wild at Heart again. That's how much I loved it.
Wow.
So. Woo! I remember this music in there. Love this whole part in Wild at Heart. This is such a great song, isn't it, Bill?
Yeah, yes.
Speed metal!
Whee!
The Power Mad. Yeah, they go to see Power Mad. It's like their favorite band. I think it's hilarious. And the best part is the way Nick Cage is dancing to the song.
Oh, Nick Cage.
Good stuff. Powerful. Power metal, Bill. I don't even know. Do you call it, is that power metal or speed metal or I don't
I have
know.
No idea. I'm ask Hunter.
It's Doubtfire.
Hello!
Metal. Doubtfire metal. Hey Bill, what do you say we take a break and we get back, we keep shooting the shit here. Oh what? Right. What, Foggy? He's telling me we actually have to move. We got to leave the food court. Are we being too loud
or
something?
Are they cleaning up after the lunch crowd?
Oh, well, okay, Bill, when we come back, we're going to move to the arcade.
Well, that's our home.
Yes, we'll move to the arcade, guys, and we'll be right back after this short break so we can get all of our shit together. All right, Bill, be right back.
Is Smucker's grape jelly your favorite?
Naturally.
Does Smucker's go over big with a big family?
Naturally.
Smucker's is naturally good because it's naturally made. No preservatives, artificial flavoring, or coloring. So naturally, Smucker's is America's favorite.
Did you know Smucker's has great-tasting apricot?
And red raspberry.
And orange marmalade.
And strawberry.
Naturally. Do you think with a name like Smucker's, it has to be good?
Of course.
It's Crazy Eddie's greatest TV and video clearance sale ever. Crazy Eddie's slashing prices on everything in his tremendous inventory of TVs and video equipment. Get a color TV, video recorder, giant screen TV. Get it all now because Crazy Eddie's greatest TV and video clearance sale ever is going on right now. Plus, Crazy Eddie's got an unbelievable selection of floor samples, demonstrators, and red tag specials, all with manufacturer's guarantees and most priced at or below cost. It's Crazy Eddie's greatest TV and video clearance sale ever. Crazy Eddie, his prices are insane.
Don't throw money out old windows on high heating and cooling bills. Alco can install your windows in one day with no damage to your home, in any size or any shape. Alco windows and drafts, even if propeller's power cannot blow out these candles. Even the heat of a blast of fire cannot penetrate Alco's famous double insulated glass. Alco windows wash from inside your home. Throw away your paintbrushes. Free alarm system with your order. For every 5 windows you buy, you'll get the 6th one free. Call now for free estimate and free quartz watch.
Winter is the best time to buy a sports car. Right? Wrong. Now is the best time to buy a brand new Nissan 200SX or the ultimate and awesome Nissan 300ZX during your nearby Datsun dealer's Spring Sports Car Spectacular. We're loaded with inventory, and every 200SX and 300ZX is priced to move out fast. Your nearby New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut Datsun dealers also have 8.8% truck financing. See us early tomorrow for your best deal.
Here's exciting news from Siemens Furniture. Now through Tuesday, you can get this beautiful contemporary velvet sectional for Siemens' low price of just $799. And get this built-in modular recliner free. You heard right. Buy this elegant $799 sectional, Siemens will install the modular recliner free. It's sensational value, incredible comfort, all for $799 now through Tuesday at Siemens.
Siemens first.
They're coming from everywhere, any way they can, to the leader of the pack.
Well, he walked up to me and he asked me if I wanted to dance.
Baby,
Joe's
the hanky panky.
Leader of the Pack, the Ellie Greenwich musical, directed and choreographed by Michael Peters, on Broadway at the Ambassador Theater. Call 212-239-6200. 239-6200.
Sambo's. Well-
welcomes 1982 with something no other restaurant has. Family Sam and his 82 specials. For breakfast, two eggs, two strips of bacon or sausage, and four pancakes, only $1.82. And everyone loves this delicious lunch. Any three-egg omelet with hash browns, again, only $1.82. And when you're really hungry for dinner, Sambo's roast beef with choice of potato and soup or salad, only $2.82. Lots of great food at great prices. Sambo's 82 specials. Come in.
Next on an Alder Riptide, when the boys take on some cheesy smugglers.
It was probably Swiss.
They blow holes in a sharp operation.
It's a good idea.
Then it's an all-new Remington Steel. While Laura plays in
Mexico City,
Remington loses the agency.
What?
Now, will Remington walk out of Laura's life for good?
Next.
On an average day, New Yorkers get struck by lots of things. Usually, they're not much fun. But now you could get struck by Luck, the new instant game from New York's lottery. You could win $1 million, up to 25,000 instantly. Of course, it all happened so fast, you may not know what struck you.
We've won! We've been struck by...
Struck by Luck from New York's lottery. Win $1 million, 25,000 instantly. Someone's gonna win, why not you?
I'd like to propose a toast to dinner.
Introducing the newest Le Menu dinners, like flounder with savory salmon mousse and tender chicken cordon bleu.
Here's to a superb dinner. And to the beautiful woman who had the taste to serve it.
There's always something special on Le Menu.
I like small cars.
We need more room.
Today, Chevrolet has a car for you, the mid-size celebrity.
Feel the room, ride in style, go in comfort every mile.
Enjoy mid-size room with economy and a price that's surprisingly small. Celebrity.
Lots of stuff here.
If this is today's Chevrolet, I like it.
And we need it.
Drive today's Chevy, live today's Chevy.
Live it.
Chevy.
There's a name welcome at millions of stores.
Levy cash or charge, ma'am?
Visa.
It's used more than any other for shopping, travel, entertaining, and cash.
Think Dad would like this?
I'm sure he would, honey, but...
Few things are more helpful than Visa.
Why don't we put it on my card?
It's all you need.
Tuesday, Vicky goes out on a limb to boost Jack's ego.
No!
Three's a crowd.
But that wasn't bad.
Then Angela's ex gets a warm welcome home. And Tony's left in the cold. Who's the boss? All starting at 8, 7 Central. Tuesday.
Welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order?
I'd like a
Big Mac value pack. Make it two, please.
Hey, what's that?
It's their new value pack. See? You get a large Coke, a Big Mac, and a super-sized fry with 30% more. All for just $2.59.
That's a great deal.
Yeah, easy to handle. And did you know this great offer for Big Mac value pack is for a limited time only?
I didn't know that.
I know. That's why I'm Gertzos and your son.
Try raising a flag at a fast food place and see what you get. At Pancho's Mexican Buffet, it'll get you more of the things you love from our all-you-can-eat buffet for just $4.99. We'll bring seconds right to your table. Plus, you get free soup, salad, and dessert bars. So raise a flag at Pancho's and give up on those other guys.
These are the adventures of Legoland Space. Its unending mission,
to explore the depths of imagination, to seek out brave new worlds of excitement, to boldly go where no child has gone before. Each set sold separately.
Bye, Dad.
What kind of cereal would you like, honey?
Cheerios.
Well, now, that's a wise choice.
Why?
Because Cheerios are part of a good breakfast.
They are?
Yuck. And Cheerios have less than a single gram of sugar per serving.
How much is that?
Oh, about that much.
Do you like Cheerios' taste, Mom?
That toasty oats taste? I sure do.
Me too.
Cheerios, a wise choice for your family.
Charmed Blow Pop, take one, action. Fruit flavored candy on the outside.
Bubble gum on the inside.
Fabulous. That's Blow Pop.
That's Blow Pop.
Fruit charm.
Now flavors.
Cherry.
Grape.
Strawberry. Sour apple.
Watermelon.
Ta-da!
That's a Blow Pop.
Save from charms.
What?
Cut, now, cut. Now.
What's its face?
Whatchamacallit.
Whatever it is, whatever it was. Chocolatey chocolate.
Whatchamacallit.
How's it go? Wowzamadoo. Chewgooey caramel.
Whatchamacallit.
Doogies. You know what I mean. Peanutty crispies.
Chewy, chewy,
chewy,
crunchy,
hush. Doodad. Let's get a Marie. More than a mouthful. It's
whatchamacallit. Whatchamacallit.
Jason's a disturbed young man. Yes, I am. Hey, everyone, we're back, but now we are in the arcade.
We are.
Which is cool.
Got a nice little table set up here in the corner.
I actually,
away from the pinball.
I got really distracted. We were trying to set up everything, but they have a Space Harrier in the corner, Bill.
They do.
I had to start playing it.
I threw a quarter into Akari Warriors, but you were busy on Space Harrier.
Oh, and when I saw you playing, I was like, do I just abandon the game? I just put a coin in and run to play Akari Warriors?
You just can't replicate that that control, that joystick with the turning ability on at home. So
I know.
When you see it, you got to play it. Oh, did you see the line for the Vietnamese place that fucking noodles? I guess the pork was bad, so it just the line to the bathroom was just huge.
Oh man, that
smelled like a sewage system in the bathroom.
It is so hard to use the potty here at the mall.
It is. It just, you know, everyone loves pho, and it just that they so they're going there. That's the new place that everyone loves. But
they are the king of pho, aren't they, Bill?
Hmm.
The king of pho.
It's fantastic.
They're the pho kings.
They are the pho kings.
Goddamn, dude.
Yeah,
exactly.
But you just gotta watch that pork, you know.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, I've never had pho.
It's, you know, it's not bad. It's very noodly, and if you get a good pho, it's really good. It's
pho
good.
Did you have pho with pho gras?
Fa with man, that's very decadent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ducky and just really fa good.
Are we getting into hipster territory there? Or?
I don't know. No, I think fa has gone mainstream.
Oh. Man, I want to play that bump and jump over there really bad.
Yeah, me too. I love that. That's the best, man. You hit that. I keep hitting the water, though. I always miss the jump.
Bill, I want to talk about something. This is kind of funny here. Like, a while back, maybe like a couple weeks ago, I asked people on the E.T. Landfill fan club if they would read something called The Mulberry Boys Mysteries.
Yes.
And a lot of people said, yeah, I would read that. And here's the thing. I don't know if it's part of me distracting myself from the book that I'm writing, but I had this idea of the town of Mulberry and these three friends, you, Steven, and I, alter egos, if you will, much like us, who solve crimes in Mulberry from their arcade that they run.
Yeah, we're kind of like the Bloodhound Gang without the cool theme.
We are the Bloodhound Gang, basically, yeah. Except, basically, I started writing this and getting really into it, and I think it'd be fun. But then I started feeling guilty because I'm writing the other thing. And I think maybe I just need to go back and forth or something. I don't know.
I think you need to kind of take breaks, you know, go to one thing and then let one thing stew for a little while. And
because my main problem, and it's been this way my whole life, because I forgot that I even liked to write. When I was a kid, I did like writing my own stories and stuff. That's how long that it's been since I've written things.
Wow.
And I think maybe it helped that I spent a long time just reading books and stuff, not thinking about writing. Because when you're reading stuff and you're thinking about writing, I don't know, maybe it interferes, but I don't know. What I'm saying is maybe I've collect some kind of knowledge by osmosis from reading books. I think that helps.
No, I think that's the key to becoming a good writer is reading a lot.
And I think maybe my problem has always been procrastination my entire life.
Oh, God, yeah. Mine is not so much procrastination as motivation. Like, I'm so manic that I can hit really lows and really highs, and then I'll write for a while, and then because I started writing, and I when it was around That's the same awesome. Time that you did, where I was maybe even a little bit before, but I was just kind of writing a kind of a surreal interpretation of my own life experiences,
right?
And I probably got, I don't know, I would have to say like 6,000 words, a couple pages into it, and
cool.
It's not that I lose interest, I don't force myself to do it. Like, I need to set a reminder on my phone, like, you need to take an hour and write something.
Right, right. Like, my problem is, I know that I could probably write 3 hours a day and be prolific if I made myself do it. The problem is what I do is I waste time doing stupid shit, and then I write for an hour instead.
Mm-hmm.
Or I write for 30 minutes and play Titanfall or something like that. And my idea was, like, I did the NaNoWriMo in November, which is this thing where they encourage people in November, writers, to start that book you've always wanted to write. Here in November, you have from November 1st to the end of November to write 50,000 words. Hopefully, you know, you just start from day one and just start writing. And then you're doing a book, Bill. You're coming up with something. See, I had already started the story that I had in October, so I just continued on in November. And I did 50,000 words. And it said, okay, you're done with your book. Are you going to publish it? And I was like, I'm not done.
Yeah.
I've still got a lot of shit to do. So I've kept going with that. And it's a story I really want you to read when I'm done. And the problem is I've distracted myself with the Mulberry Boys mystery, which is a much lighter fare, keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe it's rescue for my brain saying, hey, let's do something lighter in tone, okay?
It probably is.
That's probably what it is. Maybe I just
need to. Yeah, because I think you, like me, are very empathetic. And whenever you kind of burden yourself with ideas that are heavy.
Yes.
You kind of enter that mind space and it's very hard to escape it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And you know what's kind of interesting? And it's almost what my story deals with. When you are in that place of, say, depression or loneliness, part of you doesn't want to get out of it. You could dwell there.
Oh, yeah. It's very easy to dwell there. I dwelled there for 15 years of my life.
Part of the whole thing is the safety bubble, too.
Yeah. Whenever you're in that depression, it's safe. It's equally safe and dangerous.
I've kind of explained to my dad that okay, you know how every coming-of-age tale, or a lot of them, not every, has a lot to do with you're there in your small town, right, Bill? Mm-hmm. And your story is to eventually one day leave there and become something, do something with your life. You know, you're going to be the great new astrophysicist and move to another state, and mm-hmm. everyone will... Whereas my story is, or you could stay in your nice, comfortable town, your protection bubble, and not do those things. We've seen so many movies where the person had to leave at the end of the movie, or you've got to, like, kiss the girlfriend goodbye, and you leave, or whatever. That's what the story is. Yeah. My story is, nah, I'll stay. And that's what the
yeah,
big problem
that's
is.
That is, and then whenever you get into that mindset, you kind of fall into that trap of comfort, that not continuing, not the change. It's so hard to change that sometimes the change never comes.
Right.
Yeah, I'm there. It's I fight every day with it to the point where even. Not to get too heavy, it's like I know that I need to take another step. Like, I took a major step back in 2011, and that year was great, because things, every day it was different. And then you plateau, mm-hmm. and you kind of fall back, you want to fall back into your old habits. And you have to force yourself, or at least get your mind right. You need to, like, stop, take stock, and then that's totally. Where I am right now. Like, I need to figure out what my next step is, and I know that I'm going to need help in that next step. Mm-hmm. Like, I've gone to the point where I've done everything on my own that I think I can get done, and now I kind of need that extra push. Like, it's kind of... I've reset. I'm back to that spot where I was when I took that large step, and now I need to take an even larger step. So it's very... It can be disconcerting if you let yourself stay static.
Yeah, yeah. It's
if that makes any sense.
No, I completely understand. It's a trap that you easily fall into.
Yeah, it's what I've always called it, a prison. It is a prison.
That's why I stayed at the same job for 13 years when I should have up and left and went on to other things.
Yeah, and it's the same for me. You know, I fell into the trap where it was easy to take care of someone and not take care of myself, because in taking care of someone else, it then took my mind off of my own problems.
Right, right.
So, yeah, you easily fall into that, and now it's you kind of have to concentrate on your own changes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's difficult. Life is a sticky wicket.
Yeah, it is. And I hate to have, like, you know, like, it's, I guess, you know, like, you don't want to live life with regrets. And I would say I do have a lot of regrets. And it's mainly, it's my fault, you know?
But I think that's the point of life. I think a lot of people talk about living life without regrets, and I think those people are either fooling themselves,
trying to sell
or
t-shirts,
have had it way too freaking easy.
Or they're full of shit, and
they're
fooling
full of
themselves.
Shit. Yeah, I mean, it's just...
It's, watch any kind of documentary about successful people. They're still miserable. There's this drive people have to keep looking for that thing, and it's almost like some people are more motivated to find it than others, but those more motivated people, sometimes it still doesn't make them happy. It just drives them towards something.
And I hate to sound defeatist, but there's this writer named Malcolm Gladwell who did a book called Outliers. And the whole book is about the people that reach the pinnacle of success normally are born into that success. Like, that is, you know, 90% of the time, very, very, very rarely does a person come from nothing and achieve their dreams or achieve everything. Normally, it's the people that are born into money or born into a family that has connections.
Right.
So, yes.
Mrs.
They
Doubtfire.
Know Mrs. Doubtfire, and they get a TV show and play with dinosaurs.
That's why someone say, like, James Cameron is so inspiring to me, because I know he was a truck driver in Orange County.
Sure.
A dude from, I guess he was from Canada originally? I don't know.
Hey. But
he was he got his shit together later on in life.
Yeah.
And now look at him now. He's so driven and into these things. He's an incredibly smart guy. He's a visionary in his field. And
you know, and it's funny that you bring up James Cameron, because on, I think it was the most recent episode of Mike Judge's Silicon Valley, where one of the characters is an asshole, and he's basically telling this other guy that, listen, you can't achieve things being the nice guy. You have to be an asshole. And so many people call James Cameron an asshole, and he is a little bit of an asshole. But being an asshole is what has made him successful.
No, you hear those stories about him being an asshole to the people he's working with towards one goal. If you ever see him interact with fans, he's an incredibly nice guy, incredibly open, and he's willing to share wisdom with you or whatever. But he knows
what he wants.
Yes, and if you're working on a James Cameron film and he acts like that, you should expect it. All he cares about is what winds up on the screen.
Yes, he wants the absolute best, and if you're preventing that, he's going to say something.
That's the same problem I had with that whole Christian Bale on the set tirade in that Terminator movie. All Christian Bale cares about is his performance in that film. That guy was hindering his performance. That's why he was getting pissed. Because he cares about every single moment that he's in that film and his portrayal. So
he knows he's doing a McGee movie and that he has to be at his best.
Yes, I'm saving this film.
Yeah. You see that asshole behind the camera? You think he's going to make a good film? No.
Yeah.
It's me.
That's why any of those kind of like things like David Fincher, if he's a dick on movies, hey, he's trying to get the movie done.
It's the same with those David O. Russell clips of, Lily Tomlin.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, listen, David O. Russell's an asshole, but he knows what he wants. And if you're not going to cooperate with that, you can throw your little hissy fit all you want. You don't see him fighting back with her. He's just sitting there silently.
He finally loses it as
well.
Well,
he does lose it after so much bullshit.
Think for one fucking second.
Yeah, I think David O. Russell has a reputation of flying off the handle on the set, but everyone is just trying to do their job. That's the main thing.
I think that's my biggest problem, is I'm just too nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can be an asshole, but a lot of times I'm just more concentrating on what other people need from, you know, like I can do for them. It needs to be more about what I can do for myself. It's like I told my friend when I was back in Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago, I want me to want me.
Kick
like
your
doing,
ass. Make,
doing the goofy, cheap trick line. You know, it's just what I need to concentrate on me.
Yeah.
And I have such a hard time doing that. It's too easy to concentrate on others. So, yeah, that's where I am. Wow, we got heavy. Jesus.
Yeah.
It's that break. It's that pee break where you just kind of start thinking about things.
Yeah. You want to know what's that whole thing? During the break, I got so distracted with the recycle bin, because today is the day that the recycle bin comes. And it's so funny. I'm so used to opening the garage door and taking my plastic bottle empty, and just throwing it into the bin. Well, I open it up, and I do this every week, Bill. Throw it, and there's nothing there because it's out on the front of the house. Right? Getting ready? So I'm like, oh, shit. And I had, like, multiple plastic bottles I was putting out there, and then I came back and I started reading shit, and I realized I never peed!
Oh, no.
I never went to the bathroom!
You didn't take care of yourself.
I didn't take care of the J-Strom, and I don't know what I was thinking. But anyway, that whole thing that I was driving to there, Bill, is that I want to put out kind of like, you know, Emma reads these. I think it's so cute that she does it. She loves, she says, "Daddy, I just love mysteries." And she reads the Nancy Drew books. And I would like to do these small kind of like paperback Mulberry Boys books.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but they have a profanity in them, and they have a creative sense of humor.
And I love to contribute to that as much as I can. Like, I find that awesome. Like, I wish I had that kind of idea. I'm jealous.
I'll show it to you and Steven first before I do anything, but I'd love to publish it like on the Kindle store. It's so easy.
Yeah.
So anyone could just buy it for their phones or tablets or whatever and just read it like that, or you could order the paperback.
We'll have to hook up with one of our friends or fans of the show for the artwork.
Oh yeah, totally. I could totally picture, like, it'd be so funny. But I just can't wait to show you what I'm writing, because I'm actually, there are so many, I put Easter eggs to the show in it. There
Excellent.
Are people
That's
in it.
That's the best.
For instance, there's I don't know if you remember, I don't know if I should, yeah, I'll go ahead and mention this, because it cracks me up. There's this black lady named Roz, and I don't know a woman named Roz in real life, but she's in the story. And it's all set up just so she says this one thing in the book, Bill.
I can't get to my ass!
There are Easter eggs to drops in the book.
I hope she also says you need to get your shit fixed.
You need to get your shit fixed. Of course, there's got... Yeah, I'm definitely putting that in there.
Okay.
But also, there might be a librarian, Mrs. Doubtfire! No, I'm kidding.
Oh, no.
I don't want to have to be sued by Robin Williams.
No, that would... You're Chris Columbus.
Chris Columbus. Yeah. So, good time. Bill, what did you think of Captain America Winter Soldier?
You know what? I enjoyed the hell out of it.
So did I.
I don't know what Rick was
He's just sick. You could tell he's just sick of superhero movies.
You know what? It's probably true. But I loved that it was... It's probably the deepest of the superhero movies. In fact, it's so funny. Steve is one of our listeners, and he drives a truck across country, and I always love following his Instagram and his Facebook, and because he always posts pictures from the places he is. Like, he was in Vegas not long ago, and he took pictures of a bunch of places that related to the game Fallout New Vegas. And it just, it made me so happy, and it was like, wow, I can't believe he found all these little places as he's driving across country. And, shit, where was I going with that? I forgot where I was going. What were we talking about?
Well, we were talking about confused.
Yeah, I just totally went off.
Well, I was trying to get you to tell me which Steve it was. Steinbeck or...
Steinbeck, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Shit. And there was something relating to him that... It was interesting. God damn it.
Yeah, I just totally brain farted. We're talking about Captain America.
Yeah. Okay. And he posted a link to this. He was listening to his radio as he's driving.
Okay.
And one of those, like, late-night shows, kind of like a coast-to-coast AM, this Ground Zero radio. And the guy watched it, and he saw, like, this, like, whole level of conspiracy that goes into the movie to the point of, like, we're not seeing what the true picture is and all that. Like, people are taking the movie and seeing the way it was written and the way, you know, the people are manipulated and the way things are hidden. Like, there's a true meaning behind things, and the way basically Captain America is used, the way everyone is used in the SHIELD organization. And it opened my eyes to that. You could see this movie on so many different levels, from the just pure action to kind of a morality tale about not seeing what the true motivation is behind things.
Right. The thing that what I loved about the whole conspiracy thing is you think back to the beginning of, like, even the first Captain America to the through the Avengers.
Yeah.
That there were, like, there was shit going on behind the veil. And that's really cool that they how they did that. I love
that,
the whole...
They had to have start thinking about that from the very, very beginning of these series of films.
Yeah, totally. That it's almost like, you know, it's kind of funny how we were talking about the Clone Wars and how basically everything that's going on is because of the dark side.
Yeah.
The dark side even put the Jedi in action.
Yes.
Like, the Jedi probably wouldn't even be assembled if it wasn't for the dark side. The dark side...
Exactly. There always needs to be a light and a dark, and the Jedi are basically the tools of the dark side.
The dark side found a way to use the light side to do all the dirty work, to do everything.
Yes.
If you think about it, the whole... I know it's funny because we're going from Captain America to Star Wars, but...
But it's true. I was going to bring up the same thing.
We were talking about how, like, Palpatine, basically, he puts the droid army... And the clones and the Jedi all at work for him, and they all do everything he needs to happen in order for him to take power and get rid of them.
It's a chess game.
And then, if you think at the end of Revenge of the Sith, he's gotten rid of the Jedi, he shuts down the droids, and he doesn't need the clones anymore, basically. Yeah. And he's in complete control.
Yeah. And that had to happen from the very, very start. And when you think about the whole idea of the Sith Order and the Jedi Order, it's like I told you, like...
Execute Order 66.
How long was this plan in effect?
Right.
Like, how far back did the idea culminate? Like, when you know, Palpatine was only an apprentice and eventually killed his master, and, you know, what was... How far back does the manipulation of the Jedi go?
He sat and he killed his master and meditated for about an hour and was like, I've got it.
Yeah. I will use these idiots with this antiquated moral system to do my dirty work.
He's like, basically, he is standing in the window with cigarettes. He's Frank from House of Cards.
Yeah.
And he's like... going, and by morning, dawn, he's like, I've got it. I know what I'm doing.
And then he breaks the fourth wall and talks to us.
Yeah. Oh my god! How great would the prequels be if friggin' Palpatine broke the fourth wall?
Well, that would be genius.
During the scenes where they're all in Yoda's room, and all the Jedi are standing there, and Palpatine's standing there, and Palpatine just turns and looks at us.
Idiots.
That, oh my god, I want to see someone do that on YouTube or something.
That would be a great series of videos.
Because
like having Palpatine actually talk, like whenever he's talking to Anakin during that like water opera, for him to just, for time to slow down, him look at the camera and go, I've got him exactly where I want him.
He's like, he kind of just winks at us. And there's a part where he's like, Jar Jar's like, maybe Mesa go talk to the Senate. He goes, I wouldn't pressure you to do that, Jar Jar, but if you want to, I think I will. And then he just turns and looks. He's like,
poor Jar Jar, always wanting to do what is best for everyone else.
He's basically he's a moron.
He is a moron, but he's got a good heart. And, you know, and that's what I've kind of come to the conclusion of. I like Jar Jar.
I find that Jar Jar creature to be a little odd.
Yeah, I like him. I like his species, like, because they're not the just the goofballs. Because as the series goes on, yes, there's less and less Jar Jar. Jar Jar is basically a non-entity in a lot of the seasons moving on. But, yeah,
Excuse me!
They are a good species. They're good people to have.
I always thought, like, he actually has the Force on his side. Because whatever clumsy shit he does, he winds up alive.
Yeah, he doesn't know it.
He accidentally throws a grenade at something that kills a bad guy or whatever, the droid.
And he unknowingly is actually directing it there.
Yeah, yeah.
Through his intention, yeah.
So the Force is, like, basically finds dumb creatures and manipulates them. I think maybe that's what it is.
The Force is evil.
So that's what I like about the whole Captain America thing, is it's basically showing... It's almost like an Emperor type of play, like Empire Strikes Back, in a way where, like, dude, we got our asses kicked.
Well, I think I said that to one of my friends, that, you know, Captain America the Winter Soldier is the Emperor Strikes Back of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's the reboot.
It's almost like they blew up the Death Star at the end of Captain America in a way.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the end of Empire in a way also.
Yeah, because it's a new start for everything. It's almost like kind of in that post-credit sequence where Bucky's kind of staring at his own history, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like it's 3PO, R2, Leia, and Luke looking out the window at the fleet at the end of Empire.
Well, it's also, it tells them that everything that guy who I know from somewhere told me was true, and
yeah.
everything that the people who were manipulating me were lying. So basically, everyone knows that the bad guy was lying to them the whole time.
Yeah.
So that they just go from there. But that makes it exciting for what happens in the next Marvel films. And
I can't wait. I was like, so what's the next Marvel film? It's Guardians of the Galaxy. And
I'm excited about that.
Somehow it's going to tie into the rest of them. So
by the way, like we were talking about the Godzilla trailer. That trailer to Guardians of the Galaxy is excellent. That,
oh my God, yeah.
It, from beginning to end, finally, I was just like, oh, dude, I want to see this right now!
Exciting. It's so well put together.
It really is, with the Hooga Chaka and all that.
Yeah, and James Gunn is such an exciting filmmaker because he's youthful, his exuberance about filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wants to make the best possible product, and even whenever he's strange. I will totally admit, his movies are bizarre, but it's like, I almost feel like that Marvel Universe needs that little injection of trauma to the films. Like, just the bizarro-ness.
Right.
Because I love Super. I think Super's probably one of my all-time favorite superhero movies, even though it isn't. It turns that idea of superheroes on their head. And it's such a violent, shocking, dark film. And the moment after I saw that, I was like, wow, I really want him to be attached to something that DC or Marvel does. And they obviously thought the same thing.
Yeah. That's definitely exciting. And then, of course, we have the Avengers. And, you know, even Edgar Wright's Ant-Man, what I don't get excited about is all the announcements. This person this person is cast, this is filming here.
So many film blogs dedicate themselves to that instead of the actual product.
I'm excited when the film comes out and I can effing see it. I don't care what soundstage it's being filmed on.
I don't care that it's in Abu Dhabi as opposed to Tunisia.
I know!
That was the other thing that was driving me
Yes,
crazy.
I just roll my eyes at that. It's like, no one gives a shit!
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm getting a little too worked up.
No, it's true.
Star Wars is my Vietnam.
Yeah, totally. I don't know what that means. But, Bill, that's pretty cool. I'm sorry. I'm apologizing to you right now, Bill. I've got to pee so bad.
No, go ahead.
I'm going to go real quick to do that. But not without providing you with some proper music.
All right, excellent.
All right, so here we go, Bill.
If you play that Christian rock song, I'm going to kill you.
What? No, 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 no.
Okay.
Nothing that bad. It's something really good, so get ready.
All right.
The silly fair way. apologize to him. It had to be done.
That's fine.
Besides, this guy's really talented.
He is talented.
Just one more.
Talentedly toned up.
We living together.
Yeah, I was going to say, what kind of accent is that?
I don't know. Are they German or something? I'm not sure. But another thing I wanted to mention about the Captain America, I love the whole, God, what was that character's name when they go to the underground bunker and he's in the computer, like his conscience is in there?
I want to say Arvin Sloan. it's something
Is it
close.
Baron, not Baron Zemo, is it?
No.
Is it Arnim Zola?
Arnim Zola, yep.
Yeah, I love the fact that it's these old type of reel-to-reel computers and everything. I love that, all that shit, all that backstory.
Yeah, in a way, I've never really read the Captain America comics, so
dude,
I guess the way that that portrayal was is very close to how the character was in the comics. Like his face was always on a screen.
What is really genius the way they're doing Captain America, because I got into Captain America when I was a teenager, and you read some of those Marvel Age, which is the old issues reprinted. It was rich with all these crazy stories with all these crazy Nazi villains, and basically, you know, Marvel needed to bring Cap into modern day comics. You know, he's not just a, you know, they needed, you know, he was back in the World War II is when they had Cap, but it was genius the way they brought him to modern day. And that's what I love how they did that in the movie, and now they've brought a villain from the past into the present by putting him in a computer. You know, they explain that, you know, how a guy that should be long dead is still wreaking havoc is really cool.
Yeah, and from the original base that he had trained at and everything, that was a nice touch.
And also the way the guys who directed this, there's a pair of brothers, and I'm forgetting their names, the something brothers.
But was it the Russo brothers?
Yeah, the Russo brothers. They did fantastic action sequences. It was a lot of fun. They really did. Well, you feel, like, the impact when Cap hits you with his shield, or, like, he just, like, forces you, like, 30 feet backwards or something.
Yeah.
Like, you see, what I love is the way Cap is like a freight train, just running forward, taking dudes down. It's awesome.
Wait, even you mentioned how he, like, just runs through the walls, and the way they shot that scene of him crashing through the walls in that kind of long... a shot, like a tracking shot of him just bursting through walls. I thought that was fantastic.
That's what I get excited about these films. A lot of times they get a director who is visually interesting or whatever. They can't always do action scenes. These guys staged awesome action scenes. From even the Nick Fury in the car chase scene, I thought was awesome.
Yeah, that was... And they gave Samuel L. Jackson... an actual character for once in the film.
Yeah, and I love that where he's talking with the car. Is there anything that works?
Yeah, it was the first time that Nick Fury, I actually cared that he was on screen and cared what happened to him. He wasn't just window dressing.
A lot of times he has been there in the early films just to tie in the films together. You know,
his whole role was basically that teaser at the end of the first Iron Man.
He's basically there to say, I'm going to be in an Avengers movie that will be made someday.
Yeah.
And then he was, you know, he was good in the Avengers, but in this film, they gave him a lot of shit to do, and he was great. And I thought Scarlett Johansson did a great job with her character, the Black Widow, because she had more to do because she was there with
him. And major props to her stunt woman.
And... the Falcon.
There was a great piece on CBS Sunday Morning all about the stunt people, like Chris Evans' stuntman and Scarlett Johansson's stunt woman, and it just, they did a marvelous job.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing stuff, and that makes me... Now, let me ask you this. How excited are you for, say, Spider-Man 2?
I'm not at all. Sony has sucked every ounce of excitement and goodwill out of me for Spider-Man.
Do they show too much in those Spider-Man trailers?
They positively show too much.
It's the kitchen sink, everything, you know?
Well, it's so far beyond the kitchen sink. It's, you know, You can tell from the first trailer that there was too much in this Spider-Man.
The first Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, I think we both agree that we both liked Andrew Garfield, but it was an origin story over again. It was nothing as exciting as Sam Raimi's original Spider-Man. The cool thing about it is probably the 3D.
Yeah.
But the story, we'd seen it done before and better, so it was a retread. It was just, there's not much you could do with it. Now, this film, what I think will be interesting is they're bringing villains we've never seen. Well, we have seen, but at least we've never seen the Rhino before. Or yeah, Electro. Yeah.
Or Electro. Is that what his name is?
Yeah, Electro. And I know we're going to see the Green Goblin, which is...
Well, we know that because we've started to see that.
And it's played by the dude from... It's Dane DeHaan from Chronicle, which I think is good casting.
Feel like Fox was like, well, let's... Hey, he was really great in Chronicle. Let's throw him in this.
Chronicle.
So I just wish they would just accept the fact that Chronicle 2 was going to be super dark and just make it.
Right.
Stop putting everyone that was in Chronicle in superhero movies and just make Chronicle 2, please.
But, okay, I'm hoping Amazing Spider-Man 2 is good, because I'm going to go see it. Emma really wants to see it. She loves Spider-Man.
Does it open this weekend?
No, it's 1st of May, May 2nd or something.
Yet it's already open in the UK?
But I will say that it does look like... They just show too much in the trailer. That's the main thing. The new X-Men, I think, looks really good. It looks like a good continuation of what Matthew Vaughn has created.
It looks intense.
It looks like some intense shit. One thing that they can do, which I remember the comic books did well, in the future, where everything is bleak, they can kill off anyone they want because the whole thing is like Back to the Future. You're going back in time to fix something.
Yeah.
So, just
and
like Doc
that
Brown.
Opening scene, they pretty much do kill everyone.
Yeah, you can even tell in the trailer, it looks like Storm is about to get skewered. Like, it cuts away, right? So everything is totally without hope and bleak, and it looks like it's done really well.
That new trailer I was very, very impressed with.
It looks like Fox learned their lesson. Basically, Bryan Singer did the first two X-Men, and I always liked X-Men, X2 United. I like that one.
Yeah.
Then
do we even bring up the Singer thing that's going on right now?
Oh, yeah. I just barely read about that. I kind of, like, looked at headlines where somebody's accusing him of rape or something.
Yeah.
What the fudge?
It's him in connection with this guy who's actually a convicted sex predator.
Yeah,
like,
what the hell?
Supposedly the guy set up a thing with a 17-year-old kid to come over his house, and it happened in apparently like 99 or 98, 99, and
yeah,
it sounds really, really bad.
Yes. All I can do is think this. I hope it's not true.
Yeah, I hope, but, you know what? We can hope it's not true, but in America, in the world, once you're accused, you're guilty.
Oh, yeah. People, you have that stigma with you for a long time.
Oh, he'll never lose it now. He'll never lose it. I feel awful for him. I pray that this is not true, that this is just someone seeking fame.
Well, yeah.
That they're going to do this, like, just weeks before the release of a huge movie for him.
Why is this news coming out now with this big film coming out? Why didn't it come out years ago or last year, the year before, when he wasn't up to anything? You know, it's interesting.
Yeah, I'm not... I'm very... When I read it, I was just like, oh, no, this is just terrible... obvious timing.
I know this. Remember that movie Powder?
Yeah,
when that
Victor
came out.
Salva.
Yeah, that guy was accused of molestation and all that stuff.
I think he was convicted.
Yeah, I immediately believed it and knew it as soon as I saw the news. Is the whole Bryan Singer thing? I know who he is and I know his films, so it's like I don't want to believe this.
Yeah, I just... You would think he would be a little classier than that, whereas Victor Silva kind of looked like a creepy...
Yeah.
Bryan Singer does not... I mean, and this is really strange to say, but he doesn't look like the type that needs to do that.
Well, he also... he's someone that we know he's been an out homosexual for a long time. And that doesn't mean you're a child molester when you're
exactly.
gay.
I mean, it's just, it's very questionable. I think his representatives released a statement that said it's completely without merit. And you know what? I'm inclined to believe it.
I'm going to treat it without merit until he's convicted. Let's just do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm really excited for his film.
That's the way it has to be.
Because I'm really excited about X-Men Days of Future Past.
And although he hasn't done, you know, he's kind of... not been the best director as of late. This looks like it's a return to form.
What I was trying to say was he wanted to do X-Men 3. He just didn't want to do it right away.
Yeah, and Fox, of course. No.
We want it now. So what did they do? Everything came to a head. He wanted to do Superman Returns.
Yeah.
In hindsight, if they would have just waited for Superman Returns to be made and fail, he would have been gone right back to X-Men.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Because Superman Returns, even he admits he was a little too preoccupied with the Richard Donner film.
And basically, I don't know if people remember this, but Matthew Vaughn was courted to do X-Men The Last Stand. And he was interested. It was his idea to put Kelsey Grammer as the Beast.
Yeah.
And then he was like, guys, this is going too fast. We need more prep to make this film good.
Good.
And finally he was like, you know what? I can't do this. And he left. And they got the Rat Man, Ratner.
That's who you go to whenever you need something done. It's a yes man.
This film next week, and we have 30 days to do it. Can you do that?
Yeah.
All right. I'll be here on Monday. All right. We'll see you then. And then they made X-Men The Last Stand, which is one of the worst X films. But they didn't still learn their lesson, though.
They never do.
They still did X-Men Origins Wolverine, which, by the way, The Last Stand, X-Men Last Stand, made a shit ton of money, and so did X-Men Origins Wolverine. So they didn't have to learn their lesson, but they finally did. Remember, X-Men Origins Wolverine leaked online. Everyone said this movie looks like shit.
It is shit.
And
they're like, no, that's such a rough cut. That's such an early cut. That's just, you know, that's the original temp cut.
If you go back and look at the first X-Men, Bryan Singer was trying to set this franchise up in a classy way. He was trying to do it where it would appeal to people who didn't read comics, and people who love comics would still be into it. And he discovered Hugh Jackman also, which probably helped a lot.
Huge Jackman.
Yeah. Oh, Huge Jackman. Oh, ha, ha. So then Matthew Vaughn finally got to do X-Men United. No, not X-Men United. X-Men, what was it called, Bill? The one with Michael Fassbender.
First Class.
X-Men First Class. Who can remember this shit? Seriously. Which was awesome. I thought it was really good back on track kind of stuff.
It was like, it had a much... A more heavy, dramatic tone to it.
Yeah, setting them up in the 60s. And it was like Mad Men with mutants, right?
In a way, yeah. I mean, because it goes all the way back to the 40s. It goes to World War II.
Yeah, it's funny because the first X-Men started with Magneto when he's a little boy. And his parents are being taken to a camp. And his powers manifest. And this film, it kind of started in a very similar way, and it's kind of like, whoa, dude. But it was cool how it turned it on its head. And Kevin Bacon was actually a really good bad guy in that, too.
Yeah, he's Sebastian Shaw.
Sebastian Shaw, yeah. And January Jones played herself, I think.
Yeah, she did play herself. She looked fantastic, though.
Yes. And remember, Wolverine had a cameo in that one, which is funny.
Yeah, that was
Wolverine, snickety snowing.
Oh my god,
that was fantastic. And I was very apprehensive when Vaughn left.
Yeah, I was like, oh, because he did Kick-Ass, but then he didn't do Kick-Ass 2. He's doing something else, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know what Vaughn's up to. I just want him to do Layer Cake 2.
Excuse me, I'm Eric Lynchard.
Tell Xavier,
go fuck yourself.
I can't wait. I'm excited about X-Men more than I am Spider-Man. But I will see Spider-Man. I'm sure it'll have amazing sequences and stuff. I still kind of have a soft place in my heart for Sam Raimi's Spider-Man films.
I'm always going to have a soft place in my heart for them. Mark Webb is he's a fine filmmaker. I have no...
The 3D sequences look good and all that stuff.
I have no problem with Mark Webb, but it just... I don't know. It's just too much.
I like Andrew Garfield, too.
Yeah, I do. I like the girl that plays Gwen Stacy. She's kind of went from the ugly duckling to...
Do you think she will die in this film so they can have Shailene
Woodley?
They've
already set that. I mean, they've spoiled it on a million rumor sites already because they're like, again, they get a still from something and then they analyze it to the point of...
She looks bloody here.
Exhaustion. Like, she's wearing the same coat as whenever she gets thrown off the bridge or whatever.
See, I haven't paid attention to that, but I know in the comics that Gwen Stacy is killed by the Green Goblin.
Yeah, so that happened.
She has to die in this film, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to prepare Emma for tears when she sees it.
I was going to say, you should probably talk to her.
When I saw
Captain America, I told my sister, I have a 9-year-old niece who's very... She doesn't handle stuff like that well. Like, when she went to see Paranorman, and she was, like, devastated.
Pair of Normans.
Yes, Pair of Normans. So I told my sister, you better go see Captain America with a Winter Soldier first, because there's going to be a lot of questions, and it's very, there's a lot of manipulation, there's some
whole Nick Fury part, Well, also, when in Captain America, the part where he falls at the end into the water, and it looks like he's dead or something?
Yeah.
I could hear Emma...
Yeah.
I could hear it. She was crying. And I'd seen it the night before, and I went to see it again. See, I saw it with Steven on Friday, and then I went to see it with Heather and Emma and her dad and everybody on the second night. And what was cool is Heather's parents, they haven't seen the Avengers. They haven't seen Captain America. They've seen, the first Iron Man, and that's it.
Okay.
But afterwards, they're like, I love that. That was great. They really were into it because it's a solid action flick, right?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And also, they watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I think is funny.
Oh, they do watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, they watch it regularly, but they haven't seen any of the Marvel films. And I'm like, oh my god, you guys need to come over and we need to have a Marvel film fest. We'll skip Iron Man 2. We'll go right into Iron Man 3.
I tell that to everyone. Just skip Iron Man 2.
We'll watch The Avengers, Iron Man 3, Captain America. I guess we can watch both Thors also.
I did that with my dad before... What was the last Marvel movie that came out?
Iron Man 3.
Yeah, I did that with my dad. We had the Marvel Film Fest so that we could go see Iron Man 3 in the theater because it was Shane Black. That was exactly what it was. Because my dad and I are huge Shane Black guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yeah, it's,
was
it's
he,
fun to do.
I wanted to ask you this. Was he into the Marvel thing after that, or was he...
He was. He totally was. He's not a comic book movie guy. He's not a comic book guy. In fact, after we went through all those films, he was like, so what books do you have? And I take him into the historical library at my show. I have, two bookcases of those, the hardcover giant versions of the comic books, the Ultimate or Absolute. Versions
what's
of
so
stuff.
Great about what Marvel's done, how they have all that material to go back to and mine and modernize it. And they do a really cool job of that.
They
and
do.
It's so funny, on the most recent, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., or the last two, of course, they had to mess things up because it's all blown up in Captain America.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Bill Paxton name-dropped a character... That I was like, that's somebody in the Marvel Universe. So I went and I looked it up on Google. I Googled the name he said.
You Googled.
He said, there's this interesting guy I caught. He had lion paws where his hand should be. And the other character's like, lion paws? So I looked it up and it was this guy called the Griffin.
Nice.
He was like the side character in Marvel lore, and it's so cool how they can name drop shit like that. It's just
I
neat to go hunting.
Yeah, that's
that
fantastic.
Stuff. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, they that had a game changer, so it's changed the whole show up. So I think that's cool.
I need to go back to it, because I just lost interest. Which is strange, because you would think I would watch it just for the young hacker girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of have a bit of a crush on the redhead one scientist girl, so...
Oh, yeah, she's great. I think the show's getting better. I honestly think, when I first started watching season one, I was like, season two is going to be so much better. They'll have all the kinks worked out. I honestly think that.
And well, I'll get back to it, I promise.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay if you don't. It's not necessary to watch it, to follow anything.
You know, I just was never a huge Coulson guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you need to have, like, an investment in that character to really grab onto the show.
And yeah, I'm hoping they bring...
I mean, he has great lines, you know, like, even Thor and the son of Cole and all that. I think... Or the funny thing happened on the way to New Mexico, I think it was called, that little short that they did with him.
Oh, my God. I just realized that is done with Sitwell. And that kind of changes everything up in a way. That guy's been around for a long time. Do you remember who Agent Sitwell was? He's the other kind of nerdy, bookish S.H.I.E.L.D. agent that's been with Coulson a few times. He wears glasses.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
And think about what happens to him to Captain America. It kind of changes kind of perspective.
Shit, yeah, wow. Hell Hydra.
That's funny.
That's one of my favorite... internet memes now.
I know.
Any picture where someone's whispering or looks like they're whispering, Hail Hydra.
I like the ones that catch me off guard and make me laugh. Like I love the Patrick whispering in SpongeBob's ear one.
Yes, those are my favorite ones. The ones you don't expect.
Yeah. And because you remember that from a movie somewhere or something like that. It's good. Now, Bill, What other films? When we're just talking about comic films, what's the next film that comes out? Like really exciting kind of thing
for me.
Uh huh.
Other than Guardians of the Galaxy, probably Jupiter Ascending.
Oh yeah, that's the new
Wachowski film. That's July. I think that's July.
Oh, that's coming out this summer.
Yeah, July 18th.
Wow. I wonder if that's going to be any good. I mean, I honestly don't know what it's. Oh, you know what? It's the Wachowski's doing a sci-fi, so that's exciting.
Well, it's a sci-fi space opera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you have Godzilla on May 16th, and the Days of Future Past on May 23rd. I always mispronounce Maleficent?
Maleficent?
Maleficent.
Maleficent.
Yeah, but I always say Maleficent for some reason, and I know it's wrong. But Maleficent is May 30th, and that has surprised the shit out of me.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I had zero interest in that until I saw the most recent trailer before, what was it? Captain America.
Right.
Oh, and Adam in the chat room said we need to see Raid 2. I actually saw it the other day.
Oh, you did? What?
Yeah, I did.
I saw a making of documentary EP kit thing.
Yeah,
and it
I
looked
saw it.
Amazing.
It's like 2.5 hours, and the first hour is all exposition, and I nearly fell asleep. And then the last hour and 20 minutes is just the most violent thing I've ever seen in my life. Sitting there going, my God, I can't believe they got away with this with an R rating.
What's this guy's name? Gareth something?
Gareth Evans.
Gareth Evans. Because there's also the guy who's doing Godzilla is a Gareth something, right?
Yeah, you're right. Like, I want to make sure that Gareth Evans is the right guy. Gareth Evans is the guy that does the Raid films.
Okay.
And then the guy that does Godzilla is...
Gareth Edwards.
Edwards, yeah.
Oh, man, that's confusing.
Just a bit. Yeah, Adam said he loved the first hour. Yeah, I just, you know what? I saw it at... It was like the first showing, like 10:30 in the morning. And I just wasn't prepared to sit through this complex exposition.
Well, also, they're not speaking English either, right?
Yeah, and it just... it's Is it Taiwanese? Or... Yes. It's Thailand. I don't even know what the hell, but yeah, it's one of those films that the first one just kind of get thrown into it.
Yeah.
This one, they're setting up a story.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I was just like, oh.
It's like the John Woo movies.
Subtitles.
The John Woo movies, we didn't really need, we needed a basic story, but not any scenes with more than a minute of dialogue.
Yeah. Now, granted, it's a really cool story. It's a little overly complicated, but yeah, it's really interesting. Indonesian, Adam in the chat room.
Oh, Indonesia.
But yeah, I mean, it's really brutal. It's so much more brutal than the first one. The first one was more fisticuffs. This one is like gory.
Wow, gory.
Gory.
Is it the kind of action I would really dig?
Oh, totally.
Nice.
Yeah, it's yeah, it's very, it's like, yeah, Adam in the chat room, it just popped up. It's an honest to goodness crime film. It is. It's a crime film foremost, and then it just explodes in your face with gore.
Hell's a poppin' action.
Hell's a poppin', yeah.
Nice. Should we mention that we both saw Snowpiercer?
Yeah, why not?
Snowpiercer.
It's a really interesting movie.
It's funny, I think the first thing you wrote after you saw it was, what the F did I just watch? And yeah. I literally said the same thing after I watched it.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that demands rewatches.
It's one of those...
It's so freaking strange.
It's so strange. It's so... visually arresting. It really is just fantastic to look at.
It every little thought that went into it, from like the protein jelly and the idea of this social structure. It's just it's, and then the mythology of it. It builds this world that you just want to know more about.
Yeah, totally. And there's this brief moment in it where they show a film of the history of the Snowpiercer, and it felt like something out of Lost or something. It was so cool to get.
Yeah, it was like an It was like an animated indoctrination film.
It was. I love the kind of depth. You know, after the movie's over, you walk around thinking about it, and there's some things you're like. There are some things I would have liked to have more information on, but it's no big deal. Nitpickers could nitpick things because they don't know it, but I honestly, I think I have enough information where I assume there's cars where the people live at. We just didn't see it, you know?
I've decided that this film, if you nitpick it, you were uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Something made you uncomfortable because maybe it rang true, or it's just you're not ready to absorb that sort of information.
Yeah, I'm just talking about, wasn't nitpicking. I noticed at certain parts you see how long the train is, and there's no way we saw the entire train. Am I right?
Oh, no, I'm not saying you. I'm just saying the whole idea of it. Like, I mean, the way it sits with people will definitely. Their political stance will have a say in how they feel about it.
Yes.
Because it's pretty anti-capitalist.
Yeah, I want to... When I see films, a lot of times I know what they're kind of saying. I see people that fly off the handle with the political stuff where it bothers them or annoys... Like, say, Elysium. Oh, yeah, the 1% and all this stuff, like all this liberal bullshit.
Yeah, they read into it.
I read into it slightly, like, oh, I think that's what's going on, but I enjoyed the film as an action film or whatever. All of the kind of political statements or whatever, I take as probably they're alluding to it, but the film is not hitting you over the head with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's like Neil Blomkamp said he just wanted to make an action movie.
Yeah, like Snowpiercer... It's about something overall, which is your place in life kind of thing, but also does it with this grand scope of this backdrop and this world building and all this shit.
Dystopian future.
It's very interesting, and at times it's disturbing.
Many times it's disturbing.
but from the very beginning, you can see where people would be like, oh, climate change. Oh, I see.
Oh, this is all an Al Gore film, right? Did he produce this?
It's the inconvenient Snowpiercer.
Why? It's the same with Captain America. You know, you could be like, oh, I get it. Thank you.
We're all being controlled by some evil Illuminati.
Yeah, and we know what's going on here. No need to see this film. Oh, wait. Noah's Ark. Oh, I get it. Oh, my God.
What is this? He's angry. He's drunk. There was a fantastic takedown of all the complaints about Noah's Ark on The Daily Show. that they actually cited Bible verses that correlate with the film.
Even though
people are digging shit that they have no idea what they're talking about and complaining about it, and then they were like, well, this was actually in the Bible.
The worst part about all of that is someone to go, Noah, I don't know if I should see that. I'm going to go sit down with my pastor and ask him.
No.
Just go see the movie if
you want
to. Why
would anybody sit down with their pastor? Are they that religiously insecure that they need the opinion of their holy man to see a movie?
Because he's going to tell you all you need is the Bible. You don't need the films. And there I go, well, then why did you bus us to see that Roma Downey hunk of shit about Jesus?
That repurposed miniseries horseshit.
Well, that's good programming there. What do you mean?
It's in the Bible.
They look at that film and go, well, that wasn't in the Bible. You know, this over-dramatization of the life of Jesus.
It says nothing about his blow-dried hair, but I assume...
Sexy Jesus.
I read between the lines. He was a very sexy guy.
He was very white.
Jesus.
And very, very hot.
He was very tan.
Because, I mean, come on, he was the son of God. He was white.
He had a nice night.
We all know that God's white.
He had this cool sway as he walked, also.
Yes. He had a sachet.
Sachet, yes.
Fabulous Jesus.
Now, Bill, I want to wrap up the show with us talking about some Blu-ray releases that we may have missed or will miss because we're not doing a show tomorrow. In case people didn't realize, the reason we did this lunchtime show is that we're going to be busy this Friday, right, Bill?
Yeah, Friday night I have to take my dad to one of his, biannual sleep studies?
Whenever
you have sleep apnea, you have to do your sleep study. So I'll be taking him at 9 o'clock, I'll be unable to do that. And then Saturday morning, bright and early, I'll be waking up at 6 a.m. to get in line at one of the record stores in Columbus for Record Store Day.
Nice.
All in the hopes of picking up one of the 500 copies of Paranorman.
That's going to be cool.
You know what? I want it so bad. I'm willing to wake up and get in line like 2 hours before. Like I'm contemplating taking a chair or even camping out for it. Like I want this copy of this Paranorman that Mondo is pressing so bad.
It's kind of like, do they have record store deal like to entice people to come? And that's one of them, or is that the only one?
The whole idea of Record Store Day is to celebrate independent record stores.
Right.
Granted, it's gone beyond that, and it's more about being an asshole, buying the records, and then putting them on eBay. But, yeah, they have... It's like a whole list. If you go to recordstoreday.com, they have like a PDF of regional releases, nationwide releases, and it's all these little special things. Some are like repressings of rare records. Some are special releases. I mean, there's all kinds of very, very cool stuff. There's a double LP of a Death Cab for Cutie concert that I really want.
So basically, what I was saying, everyone's not waiting in line for that Paranorman.
No, not everyone is. There's
so you have a chance.
There's other things that people want. But it's going to be really hard because there's only 500 copies, so that means each store might get one or two copies.
Well, I hope you get it. That sounds really cool.
I do too, but I would be willing to pay upwards of, $100 some dollars on eBay for it if I don't.
You need to just get there early and talk to the manager or something and be like,
well, I know the manager of the store I'm going to, but that wouldn't be cool for him to set it aside. That's,
I want to talk to somebody in charge.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm looking like, forward to it.
Come on, Paranorman, you know me. I'm a good customer. These other guys are chumps.
I've brought cookies.
You're lying.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You have brought cookies? That's pretty nice of you.
I've done that before, where I've made cookies. Like, one of my favorite stores is Elizabeth Records, and it's just the used record store, and I love the people there. David, Laura, their daughter, Elizabeth. I'll go there when Elizabeth is there and play with her for an hour, you know, just hang out. It's a great store, and I've taken cookies before and been like, here, here's some cookies, and they'll, you know, give them to customers, and Elizabeth will eat them, and, you know, it's just, it's fun. It's, you know, it's community.
So they owe you that record, basically.
Well, they don't do record store. Well, they do record store day at Elizabeth Records, but they're mainly used record store, and they kind of do like a special event thing. The place I'm going is Lost Weekend Records. There, they do the, you know, stuff, the record store day. I've never taken cookies there, but maybe I should start. Maybe I should go with cookies and be like bribing the people in line. Like, if you let me go in front of you, I'll give you a cookie.
Hey, Bill, could you do the Hot Fuzz trivia and blow everyone's minds if they...
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're right.
Because you blew my mind.
Today, I'm just kind of watching... I don't know what made me do it, but I was watching a clip of interviews of reactions from the cast of Game of Thrones of a death that happens in the series this season.
Right.
And one of them is the guy that plays the Hound. And he was totally out of makeup. He just looks how he normally looks. And as I'm looking at him, I was like, I know that face. And then it clicked in my mind that I saw him in one of the films of the Cornetto trilogy. And the Hound is the same guy from Hot Fuzz that only talks in NARPs. Like, he's the enforcer for the Timothy Dalton character that goes to take out Nicholas Angel, and he's like, hey, big man. You know, and he throws him the teddy bear, and he looks at it, and then he beats him up, and Simon Pegg is the one that has to pick up the phone and say, yarp.
Did you say cool off?
Yeah. I mean, that just blew my mind that the Hound is that guy.
The Hound is the yarp guy.
Yarp?
When you said that, my mind placed it together and was like, holy shit! It's like,
yeah, I mean, it's not, it was just one of those things that clicked in my head, and I was like, holy shit, that's great for me, but I just kind of put it out there for you. I didn't know if you would be as shocked as I was.
No, I was. Because you watch Game of Thrones or shows like that, and you're like, where do I recognize that person from? And you don't really know. You can even look on IMDb and just see a face and go, I have no idea who that is. What the hell? But then when you said yarp, and I was like, oh my God, that's him!
Yeah, and he looks so different because he doesn't have any of the makeup on, he's bald,
well,
he's got
also,
like, fake
Hound,
teeth in his mouth.
The Hound has burn scars also.
Yes, he's very afraid of fire.
And he loves chicken also.
Yes, he does. Every effing chicken. Those have been the funniest
memes.
Like the KFC advertisements.
Yeah, I love that.
The one that Jimmy Kimmel did was just hilarious.
I didn't see that.
That was great.
Now,
every chicken in this place meal.
Yes. I won't say what happens to what character, but I will say my theory on how that character died. Here's a hint. No, it's pretty obvious. That's how they died. Am I right?
Yeah, that is.
It is.
It's the, as they call it in the book, the strangler.
Oh.
Yes.
You know what? They've mentioned that on the show before. Like, earlier in the seasons, I think.
Yeah, the poison.
Oh, you just had to come right out and say it, Bill.
I'm sorry. Well, Bill Biff DeVoe was going to say it first. I had to beat him.
All right, Bill. I want you to... let's do some DVDs.
All right.
the maybe a DVD song? You want to do that?
Do that for lunch? I mean, we can.
Ow! It's so loud here in the arcade. I don't know if you can hear this.
Let's do the DVDs. Let's do the DVDs. Let's do the DVDs. DVDs, DVDs. DVDs, HD Blu-ray, standard definition.
Blu-ray.
DVDs. Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs, everybody.
Yes, oh, hell yeah. You know what I just realized? This is kind of sad. This is like the third show we've done in a row with no Steven.
Yeah, you're right.
It's kind of sad.
I'm sorry for that. It's my fault we're doing a lunchtime show.
No, I love it. If you weren't available tomorrow, we wouldn't do a show anyway. So,
I wanted to make sure that we did a show because it's been like 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks.
Well, yeah, it's like you and I, we talk online and stuff, but it's good.
Yeah,
to
we
just
talk every day, but we don't get to share with everyone else, and everyone else is kind of left out of the loop.
Yeah, like, you and I didn't really, we haven't been able to talk much about Captain America, like, voice to voice, just like, that was awesome, yeah, it was, kind of like
except
that.
Except when we're on, like, Titanfall or something, yeah. And then most of the time it's just us swearing like we're on a par 5.
Yeah, all of a sudden we're talking and then I'm like, I just shot you in the face, or something like that.
Or me just spewing various swear words because I just got killed by someone, surprisingly.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like this, Bill.
I'm going to shoot you in the face.
Yeah, we use that repeatedly. If anyone ever plays with us, they will hear that over and over.
What was that? I was trying to think of that one thing we would say, and I just remembered. We would do this on Battlefield.
Righteous kill.
Yes. That's because they had that stupid advertisement in the
righteous
game.
Righteous kill posters on the wall.
It was like, hey, let's pull you out of this game entirely and put a righteous kill poster in it.
Kill was righteous, Bill.
Yeah, that was awful. Thank God they don't have that in Titanfall, like gigantic ad for Mountain Dew.
Oh, yeah, they would have like, what would be a good one? Like, Transcendence poster.
Yeah, oh my God.
Johnny Depp's face.
Like
Johnny Depp is in the game.
Pixelated face. Yes.
He's actually in the game, Titanfall, because his whole...
would be great.
Him and Arnim Zola are in the game.
if they, during those like little... your Titan will be ready in 2 minutes, if it was Johnny Depp in Transcendence doing that.
Yeah, you're going to fight for him and Matt Frewer from Lawnmower Man.
Oh my God. I hope we just didn't give them any ideas there with that.
They were like, wait, that sounds interesting. Tell us really? More.
We could parlay this into some serious cash.
I am God here.
Oh my God.
Job.
All right, Bill, what kind of DVDs and stuff?
All right,
let's go
backwards in time. We'll start with April 15th, this past Tuesday.
All right.
Mallrats on Blu-ray.
I'm interested in this, because
I might pick it up, the Stink Palm.
I've always had a place in my heart for Mallrats, and I kind of want to check it out.
Yeah, I like it. As Harry Knowles said, it's the first color film that Kevin Smith did after Clerks.
I want him to shut up.
Kevin Smith's first color movie. Brand spanking beauty of Blu-ray. Woohoo! I love Mallrats. I liked it when I first saw the film back in 1995. But then, once I met Jim Jacks...
He's got a name drop.
Yeah, his stories about the making of Mallrats, of Kevin Smith crashing at his house, well, they became a thing of legend.
You dumb bastard.
You know what's really interesting about... It blew my mind when I saw the uncut kind of... I don't know what it's called. Director's cut or whatever. It's not the preferred cut by Kevin Smith. But
yeah,
he put out an extended cut of Mallrats basically saying, this is the version of the film originally, but we retooled it because it wasn't working. And you watch that uncut footage... Or that cut footage of Mallrats, what I mean. And it will freak you out because there's scenes... I've seen Mallrats so many times, like when they walk out of the house. there's like another scene with like reporters and shit there to talk to TS because of this incident that happened that was cut out of the film. It's insane the shit they cut out of the film.
Yeah, it is.
It will blow your mind how much Kevin wasn't sure of the story and what to do that so much of the film didn't work that they cut out. It will blow your mind, honestly.
Yeah, I think this is case in point of too much fame too soon.
Yeah, the sophomore curse, or I guess that's with bands, but it happens with directors.
He had no idea what
too.
He was making.
Yeah, he wanted to do the idea of Mallrats or whatever, but he was a huge fan of Animal House, and he wanted to kind of have an Animal House type of movie. I don't know if... Yeah, I think he does. He's mentioned that. I don't want to just throw that out there, but I believe he did mention that. An Animal House type of film. But it was like too much plot, and it was ridiculous. So just check out that cut footage. If you're a fan of Mallrats and you've only seen the theatrical, if you watch this stuff that was cut out...
It's on the Blu-ray, and the extended version actually has an introduction from Kevin Smith.
Yeah, I remember sitting watching the extended version going, this is terrible. I'm so glad that he cut all that shit out.
Yeah, it's really... I mean, and there's like little... That's why the theatrical actually feels so inconsistent.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's all over the place.
And it's so funny, the commentary, they'll tell you, like, there's a part with Claire Forlani where it was filmed way later. And he's like, okay, watch here. It just, she looks completely different. Her hair's a little bit different. And the chair looks, like, way bigger she's sitting in.
Yeah.
And he goes, okay, there it is. And everyone starts laughing because now when I watch the movie, I see it. And I'm like, I never noticed it before. But now that he pointed it out, it's like, holy shit. It's so inconsistent.
Holy shit, is she adorable in that movie. That was like, she was my crush for the longest time.
It blew me away when I finally heard her talk and she's not American.
Yeah, she's British, yeah.
I was like, blimey, is that her voice?
I like her even more.
Hello!
Hello!
She sounds like Mrs. Doubtfire. No, but...
She's got meringue on her face.
It's just, it's an interesting... just realizing. But, just to see how things like that happen in the film industry where they have to retool shit.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And that movie needed some serious retooling.
Yeah.
It's like Universal's like, oh, shit, what did we do?
Well, a lot of it, I don't know how much of it, but I'm sure there was studio interference.
Oh, there absolutely had to be. I mean, the movie never would have been released without the studio interference.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next is
So pick
the,
that up.
sorry. The new Great Expectations that Mike Newell did with I almost called him Ralph.
Just go back to your podium until it's time to play the feud, all right?
Rafe Fiennes.
Okay, Ralph. I like
Ralph. I know, I'll always call him Ralph. I mean, it's spelled R-A-L-P-H. That's not Rafe, that's Ralph.
Yeah, it's Ralph. Come on.
But yeah, I always liked the book Great Expectations, and it seems like every version of the film has been worse than the other, so...
I just expected too much from it.
Yeah, you know what it is? It is. I needed to let the movie come to me instead of having such great expectations. We're having who did these? All right, so we have Touch of Evil, limited edition.
Oh, no.
And, of course, this is a film that Harry Knowles feels captures the soul of cinema at its best.
Oh, well, I'm glad he told us that.
Mm-hmm. And Double Indemnity, also in a limited edition. That's the... I have a hard time watching Double Indemnity because of Fred McMurray.
Right.
He was always the dad on my three sons.
Yes.
The foot tapping. Yeah, I just... When I see it, it's a really good movie, but for me, I was always just... Hey, look. I couldn't get that out of my head.
Hey, look.
I'm sorry, what?
You said, hey, look.
Yo, well, I'm just like, hey, look, it's Fred McMurray. You know, it just is one of those things that... Anytime you're so familiar with a character or a character actor.
Which one? Was it Chip on My Three Sons? The ones with the glasses?
Yeah.
He was always my favorite.
Yeah, Chip was good. Chip was, and then there was, the grandpap. Pop or...
Mm-hmm.
Shit, what was his name? He was, I want to say Fred Mertz, but I'm probably wrong.
You son of a bitch!
No, it was Fred Mertz, that's right, okay. Yeah, he was also on I Love Lucy.
You're right, okay.
Yeah, so, My Three Sons was Nick at Night. I watched that all the time. I'm, of course, not alphabetical. We're going to go with Ride Along. The Ice Cube Kevin Hart movie. Yeah, I'm sorry. I just... No.
No. Who wants a mustache ride?
No. Well, and they did that lift where they got a ride in a car with a mustache with Conan.
Yes. Conan was the funniest thing about that bit.
Yeah, that was so uncomfortably unfunny. I'm not into that form of comedy of theirs.
Basically, Conan being an ass and them, like, wanting him to leave kind of humor.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Conan cracks me up when when he doesn't care how stupid he looks. I like when he does that.
That's the that's when Conan is at his best. Because he knows he's in a situation that it's sort of a lose-lose. Like, he could tell this wasn't going to be the greatest bit, so he just goes apeshit.
I thought that one guy, what's the, not Ice Cube, but the other guy?
What part?
Yeah, he goes, give me a chaka stick. And he goes, a chaka stick? He goes, yeah, chaka stick. I wanted to go, dude, it's a chick-o stick. All right? But he goes,
that's right. I was wondering what the hell a chaka stick.
Give me a choco stick.
And he didn't even get him that. He got him Nutella.
Yeah, he goes, all they have is Nutella. That was funny.
That was my favorite part. The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Oh.
Yeah, Ben Stiller directed Christmas film that came out.
Some critics called it The Secret Life of Walter shitty.
You know what? It's not shitty. It's just... Ugh. It's a slog, man. I mean, it can be visually arresting at times. Like, I was very surprised how pretty it was for a Ben Stiller film. Like, he's come very far as a director.
Stunning.
I don't know how much of it has to do with him or how much of it has to do with his cinematographer.
I've always been a big fan of Ben Stiller, the director.
Okay.
I always loved the Ben Stiller Show, you know, Reality Bites, and stuff like that. But, you know, I was interested in seeing this, but it was the kind of film where, you know, waiting to see it on cable kind of thing.
This is one of those films that you have to be in the right mindset. Otherwise, it's just so saccharine.
Right.
Like, it just, he's finding himself on this great adventure, and
the story speaks to me.
Yeah, it speaks to me, too. It's just not done in a way that is... It's so fantastical that I couldn't relate to it.
That's, I've heard some of the fanny sequences go on way too long.
Yeah.
But my whole childhood was looking out the window and I'm like saving this high school from terrorists, like Die Hard or something.
You were Chuck Norris in Invasion USA.
Yeah, there's some like hot chick at the school who I had a crush on that I'm going to rescue or something. You know, I had all those kind of type of thoughts, you know.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I think any of the, you know, the outcasts or the, you know,
there's some kid being picked on and he's the brother of the hot chick at school and I rescue him from the bully or something.
Absolutely. Yep. And then, you know, you're the man in demand.
That's right.
My savior.
You're really pretty.
Philomena.
Yeah, Phil Homina.
Phil Homina with Steve Coogan and Dame Judi Dench.
Steve Coogan also the other Coogans. Never mind.
Oh, my God.
Regrettably,
oh, shit.
No.
The other Coogan from...
Don't tell Mom the babysitter's dead.
Yeah,
and it's his dad, right?
No. No.
What are you talking about, man?
I don't believe that Steve Coogan...
Keith Coogan. Yes, he's Coogan, Keith, yeah. Keith Coogan's dad.
No.
This is your done, man.
This is your done, man. Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is a very strange movie because Philomena is a very strange woman. And you just kind of sit there like, oh, okay, this is bizarre. But it's moving, and it's an interesting film, and I would recommend it, but Dame Judi Dench plays a very strange lady.
Okay.
Philomena.
Philomena.
Yeah, she's got a man's name.
Very interesting.
I think this is the DVD or Blu-ray of the week. Black Nativity.
Black Nativity.
Yes, it's a contemporary, so I guess that's what they're calling an all-black cast film now, contemporary, adaptation of Langston Hughes' celebrated play, the holiday musical drama Black Nativity. Yeah, no. It starred Jennifer Hudson. She's an Oscar winner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw this in the store, and I was like, what the hell? Is this like Black Jesus? Like I had no idea. I had no placement. I was just like, oh, okay, Black Nativity. Sounds interesting. Next we have.
Hey, fine.
Yeah, fine.
Sounds good to
next
me.
Next we have The Nut Job.
The Nut Job.
Yeah, I saw... This is like one of those really poorly made 3D computer animated films that I saw advertised in Walmart a lot.
It looks like one of those, like... It's not Pixar or it's not DreamWorks, but it's some shitty studio did a...
Yeah, that desperately wants to be Pixar.
They want some bank, some of that Pixar money. Right?
Yeah, and it's like... It's one of the worst, like, voice casts I've seen.
This is Rhodes.
It's Brendan Fraser. Gabriel Iglesias.
Huh?
Jeff Dunham. Katherine Heigl. I mean, holy crap.
Okay.
Oh, and it looks like there's small roles from Will Arnett and Liam Neeson. I guess they needed a paycheck.
Liam Neeson, hey, Liam Neeson gotta eat, Bill.
Yeah, he does gotta eat.
In a nutshell.
He's making a ton of money recently.
Yeah, when are they gonna bring Liam Neeson into the Marvel franchise?
They need to. Maybe they'll make him Doctor Strange.
Oh, nice. Doesn't make any sense, but yeah.
No. Yeah, I know, it doesn't.
Oh, that was so cool that they name-dropped Stephen Strange.
Yeah, and they also did the thing I was looking for names. They did Anthony Stark on the radar thing.
Oh, yeah. You know what? There's one thing about Doctor Strange. I have some Doctor Strange comics because if there was an artist... Like, I was one of those guys who's also an artist hunter. If there was a certain artist I loved, like Michael Golden or Arthur Adams... I would buy anything that they drew. And I have a couple of Doctor Strange issues that, you know, like Michael Golden drew. And I would read it and look at his artwork. Never understood what the hell was going on because I didn't follow the story. So I have no idea what his powers are or anything.
Yeah, I just know that he's magic.
Yeah.
He's never a comic book that I ever got into.
I know this. He is the Sorcerer Supreme.
Oh, okay.
So he was
part of the Supremes.
He's the most powerful sorcerer in the Marvel universe.
Oh, okay. All right,
so
I got
don't
you.
Like Harry Potter or like even like what's a I hate to say his name, but Voldemort would be scared
shitless.
Oh
my god. I can't believe you just said that out loud.
Yeah, he who shall not be named would be scared shitless of Doctor Strange.
Well, it's because he's a badass, apparently.
Sorcerer Supreme.
Next Blu-ray, we have Reality Bites, the 20th anniversary edition.
All right, Reality Bites. Now, I will say this, the film,
if you watch it now, it is dated. I know.
Oh, God, is it ever.
But it's a nostalgic thing. Like,
it speaks to a time period.
That film came... I remember being excited about this movie because the Ben Stiller Show, which Steven and I both loved and watched it on his VHS recordings.
Wow.
This was Ben Stiller's first movie since that show got canceled, so we're really excited about it. And so I remember it fondly, and I'll watch it whenever it's on. But yes, there are parts where it's like, like, okay, Janine Garofalo, yes, she's annoying. I got it. Would I punch Ethan Hawke if I really knew his character in real life? Yes.
Yes.
But it's still a fun movie to watch.
It's when the actual meaning is the complete opposite from the literal meaning.
Oh, that's
all right,
the definition.
So now we have
iron.
Uncle Buck on Blu-ray as a part of the Best of the Decade series.
Okay.
So I'll be picking that up.
Fads, little retarded boy, work in the cash register.
Oh, jeez. I love Uncle Buck. I love Uncle Buck so much. That's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, this is really strange. There's this group that releases limited edition Blu-rays. Like, They get a I don't know what you would call it. It's Screen Archives Entertainment, and they get these limited release allowances for movies. Like, they've done Wild at Heart on Blu-ray. They've done the original Fever Pitch on Blu-ray. Like, I mean, little films that I don't think would be huge sellers, but they somehow get them. And they got Used Cars. And they're releasing that on Blu-ray, and they're only making 3,000 of them.
Wow, 3,000?
Yeah, it's limited to 3,000 units.
Why so few?
But that's just what they do, this Screen Archives. If you look them up under, like, Twilight Time is normally the heading they're under. Like, the Wild at Heart, I think they only did 3,000 of.
So would it be the kind of thing where if you want it, can you get it?
Yeah, you can, but you have to know it's there. Like, this is... Only people that know it's being released would know to go to this screenarchives.com and buy it.
Right.
Like, the used car is... It's the way they do them, it's kind of like the old-school Criterion Laserdiscs, where it's the best possible version. It's a new, 1080p... high definition. It's a redone 5.1 DTS HD master audio, but
it's
also
a super
includes
bit.
the mono 1.0 that the original was. But then you've got like an isolated score track with the film score, the unused film score, commentary with Zemeckis and Gale and Kurt Russell, gag reel and outtakes. Radio interviews and radio spots. I mean, this thing it's old school kind of Criterion. But it's limited to 3,000 and it's $30.
Sweet.
Yeah, you can only get it at the Screen Archives Entertainment site.
Hey, Foggy, can you get him to turn down the music in here?
Yeah.
I guess we can. This is like the busy time in the arcade, Bill.
It is, and apparently they really like Ben Folds.
Yeah, they do.
And again, like, that Wild at Heart Blu-ray is awesome. It's, it's got the isolated music and effects track, the making of Love, Death, and Elvis and Oz, the original 1990 making of, Dell's Lunch Counter, these extended interviews.
This is like the kind of extras that we used to get excited for, like, back when DVDs first came out,
Exactly. Like, I mean, it's
supposed to be on there.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. And I love used cars, so I definitely want it. I'm going to be picking up Wild at Heart and used
Such
cars.
Such a funny effing movie.
It is. Yeah.
That's and what Zemeckis
needs to
go back
to. They've also done, like, scores. Like, you can get the Young Sherlock Holmes score from Screen Archives. And they did, like, a special CD of the Winter Soldier score.
I still love that movie, Young Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, my God. It's fantastic.
It's so fun.
That's one of those movies that I watched on VHS a million times. Like, my dad would rent it, and then we would dupe it with two VCRs like everyone did. Yeah, so I'll be picking those up from Screen Archives. Hopefully there's still some left for me. What else? The Desolation of Smaug.
Oh.
Came out.
You know, just like the Hobbit one, will there be an extended version later?
Yeah, I'm going to wait.
Yeah, that's the best thing to do now, is to wait for those.
Plus, those are always the ones that have Smaug. The better extras.
Yeah. So exciting.
Yeah, I keep seeing this Paranormal Activity, the Marked Ones Blu-ray in the store. I'm like, so they made another one? Like, I'm so out of the loop on these Paranormal Activity movies.
One thing I wanted to say about The Hobbit, The Unexpected Journey, or even the new one, Smaug. The one thing you know about all those flicks is they were filmed in native 3D. Am I right?
Yes. And 48 frames per second.
And, oh my God, it looks so freaking fantastic. Now, here's the thing that I wanted to complain about the Marvel films. Could they please start filming in native 3D, please? Bill?
Yeah, that would be great. That would be ideal.
We complained about it with the Avengers and Iron Man 3 and Captain America. You can watch it in 2D fine. They need to film them in 3D and give us a reason to see it in 3D.
Yeah. Yeah.
Know what I'm saying, cuz?
Absolutely.
All
absolutely.
Right.
I really do not. I mean, they're doing better with the post conversions, but I'm just shoot in native 3D already if you're going to, you know, do it in 3D.
I need to talk to that Kevin Feige or whatever his name is who runs Marvel about this.
Yeah, I think you need to get him on the phone right away.
Yeah.
August, Osage County. Why not watch a depressing play on your TV?
Yeah, that's when I saw the trailer for that. I was like, no.
Yeah, I actually saw the play, and I wanted to blow my brains out. So I really don't want to see the movie.
You saw the play?
I actually saw the play, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Was Mrs. Doubtfire in that?
She needed to be.
She played the part, Meryl Streep's part?
She needed to be.
Hello!
I think it's so funny that the Target edition of the Desolation of Smaug comes with a Lego Legolas.
Nice! Mm-hmm. Legolas.
Lego Legolas.
Smaug.
Smaug.
I can't stop saying that.
And we're going back into April 1st, where there's Once on Blu-ray. It's an Amazon exclusive.
Once?
Once.
Is that the film where I don't know you?
Yes, it is. That
I
is.
Oh, I want to.
Yep, I do too.
Such a great movie. Song.
It is. And the documentary they did for The Swell Season is also excellent.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and I think it's just called The Swell Season.
I remember, I always remember after seeing Once, I have a friend named Ray. Who plays guitar, like, all the time. He's really big into, Ray playing acoustic guitar, electric guitar, whatever. And I said, you should see Once. You'll love that. It's about a street musician, and it's, his music and all that, and he meets
a girl. Except he's talented.
Yeah, you should check it out. And I remember he texted me, he goes, watching Once. And I'm like, oh, cool, enjoy. 5 minutes later, is this film going to go anywhere, or should I keep watching?
Oh, my God.
And I was like, keep watching. Then, like, 5 minutes later, he goes, does anything actually happen in this film?
Oh, my God.
So I texted, and I go, you're watching the film in the wrong context. What are you, you're waiting for something to happen. I don't know what, like an action scene or a car chase. I don't know. Maybe this film is.
I told him to just turn it off.
And I said, maybe you're not watching it in the right frame of mind. And he texted back, no one tells me how to watch movies.
Wow!
And at that point, I just started ignoring his text and just forgot about it. So sometimes...
Ray's an asshole.
Sometimes when you, encourage someone to watch a film, maybe you shouldn't. Or you should just know that they might not enjoy it like you did.
That's amazing.
You're not fooling anybody.
All right, moving on. We have Anchorman 2. The legend continues with the two versions of Anchorman.
I thought that was called Anchor Man.
Anchor Man, sorry. It's Indonesian?
Yes. By the way, should we mention Steven's most hated film of all time is Anchorman.
The original Anchorman, yeah.
Yeah.
I keep seeing this Anchorman 2 in the store, and I have yet to get it, and I want to see it because I watched a gag reel that had me in tears laughing.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I want to see it. Next, we have the come-and-go movie of Christmas, 47 Ronin, which apparently was a total cluster F.
Yeah, you remember me saying on the show, I mean, I just know things, okay? I have powers.
Yeah.
Where I said, either this film will be completely badass, or it'll be a freaking disaster mess. Because the trailer shows all these cool sequences, but it still doesn't mean the film is a mess. So apparently, editorially, the film's a mess.
Yeah, I guess it was a mess to begin with. Like, originally, the film was just about these 47 Ronin, like it should have been. But then Warner Brothers was like, no, we need more Keanu.
We need 49 Ronin.
Yeah, so they shot more Keanu and then, like just wedged it into the movie. And it's a mess.
Oh, boy. I like that actor who's in it, that guy who was in The Last Samurai.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He was in Wolverine.
Yeah, it was like Show Kasugi or something.
Yeah, Show Kasugi. He was also in Master Ninja.
Harry Tanaka.
Master Ninja theme song.
I always love that when his back's hurt and he goes, "Doh!"
Oh, God, that's one of my. Steve. Those are two of my favorite. Not one, but two.
Hey, I like how the light starts to fall before his foot hits it.
Was that. That's had Tim Van Patten in him, too, right?
They keep making Tim Van Patten jokes.
I always. You know what's so funny about Mystery Science Theater is no matter how many times I've watched every single episode, probably. I've lost count. I always get Ben Murphy and Tim Van Patten confused.
Ben Murphy.
You know, it's just... I guess because Ben Murphy has been in about as many movies on Mystery Science Theater 3000 as Tim Van Patten has.
That's what was so great about that Mystery Science Theater poster, is that you see these characters and go, oh, I remember what that's from. You know?
Oh, yeah. I was going through it, and I was like, oh, I remember that one. Oh, I remember that one.
Well,
and then,
you know what, though? There's so many don't know, because there's so many MSTs I haven't seen.
Oh my God, that's my thing. When I finally get my ass in gear and move down there, we need to just sit and watch Mystery Science Theater 3000 from the beginning.
And have like, a thon.
Yeah, every episode, like, do like two episodes a week. You, me, Emma, you know, it just absorb it.
Right.
It's just so funny. There's so many characters that are great. Because I've seen every episode so many times that I need to watch them with people that haven't seen them.
All right, Bill, the show will end in the next 14 minutes.
Okay, so we're almost done here. Knights of Badassdom, terrible movie.
Oh, I saw you wrote that. I remember reading about it a long time ago. It's about LARPers. It's got Peter Dinklage. It's got Jason Stackhouse.
It is one of the absolute worst movies I've ever seen.
Wow. And yeah. I remember it being shelved or some shit, but
should have been a 10-minute short, not a 80-minute movie.
So it's like a funny idea that just plays out way too long.
Yeah, funny idea that is just an absolute disaster. Everything about it is terrible. You know, I know the effects were supposed to be tongue-in-cheek at time and all that stuff, but it's just awful.
Too bad.
Yeah, speaking of another awful movie, for some reason the WWE decided to digitally remastered Hulk Hogan in No Holds Barred on Blu-ray.
What?
Remember this one with
Zeus?
No
Holds Barred! I know what that is,
Yeah, the one with Hulk Hogan and Zeus.
That's really too bad for you, man.
Yeah, I might have to rent this. I watched this movie so many times as a kid. Terrible. I hate to even admit that.
That's too bad.
I know. and the Jesus film, the Jesus film from 35 years ago that I had to watch a million times at Christian school, the Jesus film on Blu-ray for the first time.
Wait, it's
viewed
called
over 6 billion times.
It should have been called Oh Jesus.
Oh yeah, Oh Jesus, You Devil.
So it's called the Jesus film.
Yeah, it's just called the Jesus film,
the Jesus Project.
There was Jesus a movie Christ. That was called The Judas Project.
Yeah.
That was all about Jesus coming back in modern times.
Okay.
Yeah, there was.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. It's so bad.
Remember there's that line in the song? Do you remember that? Where he says Jesus would be shot down by the CIA?
Yeah, well, that's this awful John O'Banion film.
Well, I remember in like a teenager, I heard that line. I was like, man, that's so true, man.
Oh, yeah, man.
They
have
like,
no time for Jesus. He's a radical.
We don't need him, like, influencing people.
Yeah, man.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
I just remember the cover because I would go to these Christian bookstores with my dad. It was The Judas Project for everyone who's ever wished for a miracle.
Starring this, Kurt Cameron.
Yeah, and it's this shirtless guy with bottom. Long hair, and all you see is this muscular back with, in front of him, 3 Apache helicopters shining down on him. With his hands in the air, like, oh no!
They're gonna take him out!
Yeah, take the shot!
Stinger missiles.
Yeah, so that's Blu-rays and DVDs for this week.
Wow, Bill, that was awesome. Thank you, sir. Uh-oh, there's a missile, Bill. It's headed your way!
Oh, you know what? I just saw in the chat room, Adam asked if any of us had seen Grand Budapest Hotel. Not yet.
Grand Budapest. No, I want to see it.
Yeah,
I
desperately want to.
I like Wes Anderson films, and I haven't been able to. So
yeah.
I will definitely check it out, though, sir. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
No,
Bill?
We're done. My throat hurts.
All right, Bill. Thank you so much for doing DVDs. Thank you so much for joining me for a lunchtime show.
Thank you for doing the lunchtime show.
We discovered the one thing bad about lunchtime shows. You know, we used to do them for an hour. That's how long it was. An exact hour we had to cut off before Ollie Barrett cut us off.
Yeah.
But also, our lunch would get cold while doing the show.
Oh, it's freezing. Like, my Orange Julius is melted.
All the foam is sunk down to the bottom of the cup.
It's separated. Now there's egg whites and sugar.
Gross. Well, also, Bill, I pulled out the old lunchtime ender when we'd end the show, so I think I'm going to play that. And I want to thank everyone for listening to the show and listening to Entertainment Landfill. And go to entertainmentlandfill.com. You can find links to us on Twitter, us on Facebook, join our fan club, also find all of our old shows. And you know what? I used to have the links to all of our old lunchtime shows available. I think I don't anymore. Remember when the forum went down?
Oh, God, yeah. I'm still dealing with that.
I need to create new links to all of our old lunchtime shows. If anyone wants to listen to them, if you do, tell me on Facebook and I'll make them available again. But, Bill, thank you so much. It was good to catch up with you. And I hope people enjoy the show. And we'll see you next time. All right, everybody. Woohoo!
Bye, everyone.
Yeah! Oh, yeah. They had robots and shit. Yeah, there we go.
It's a Titan.
Oh, yeah, it is. Let's sing. Prepare for Titanfall while jamming to some cool music. Bum, 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 bum. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's like ready in 2 minutes.
It's like the old days, Bill.
Radio.
No, we're not on Talk Radio X. What the hell?
Mobility.
No. What the hell? All right. There we go. This is good closing out music, Bill. This is better.
Let's go jump around.
I want this music to just play every time I get out of the shower.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate.
I'm like toweling off naked.
That up now.
All I can think of is the Pringles commercial when I hear this song. That little stupid head bouncing around.
The Pringles man.
Yeah, the Pringles man. Who could win in a fight? The Pringles man against the peanut dude?
Pringles guy would smash it up.
That's right. He just
crack his nuts.
Oh, you're right. Jump around. All right, Bill. All right, everybody. See you next time. Woohoo! Bye.
Casting.